bad. So Mary takes my temperature, and I've got one. I've also got a temperature here this morning. And so that would probably conclude you to ask, well, why is he here? Why am I here? Because you know something? It's hard to get a replacement for me. Not because I'm that good, but because they just have a hard time finding people. So if I called management last night or yesterday afternoon and said I'm sick, then they would have to scramble to find somebody to come in here.
You'd end up with somebody like me filling in for you, Jay, which would be bad, bad.
Yeah, because we don't know whether we could get Aaron Hart or Carl Jeffers, you know, at the last minute. So, man, if I don't feel better by 10 o'clock this morning, I'm just going to tell the program director, Jerry Bell, you know what, you got to get somebody tomorrow, and I got to go to the doctor and try to get this knocked down. So it'll be an interesting morning this morning to see if I can make it until 10 o'clock. We got a lot on the bill this morning. The biggest thing probably happening today is the beginning of the Alito hearings. And we'll have Ralph Neese, who is president for People for the American Way, coming up here at about 6:30 in the No Power Hour. By the way, the People for the American Way got a little plug yesterday in the New York Times, along with Barry Lynn's organization, about the separation of church and state as being two of the primary organizations that fight the religious right in this country and their ongoing battle to destroy the separation of church and state. And when I saw that yesterday in the New York Times, there was an article in the New York Times yesterday about in the op-ed section about, does anybody on the religious right take Pat Robertson seriously anymore after he makes, you know, all of these dumb comments that he makes, you know, by Hugo Chavez being assassinated, by Hurricane Katrina, perhaps being a payback for the lack of belief in God, and his current thing about Ariel Sharon suffering this terrible stroke because he sought to divide up the land of Israel and give part of it to the Palestinians. And while he does have a considerable following, the op-ed piece, the analyzation of Pat Robertson indicated that the elites in the religious right Christian movement think that his comments do them more harm than good. And so in this article, People for the American Way and Barry Lynn with separation of church and state organization was mentioned. Vice President Dick Cheney was admitted to George Washington University Hospital about 3 o'clock this morning Eastern time, after suffering shortness of breath, the White House said. The problem is believed to be associated with medicine that Cheney is taking for a foot problem. Now, Cheney is out already. His doctors found that his EKG was unchanged and determined that he was retaining fluid as a result of anti-inflammatory medication he has been taking for a foot problem, probably because he's put his foot in his mouth so many times. Now, this is a statement from Cheney's office. They have placed him on a diuretic, and he's expected to return home later, and he's already left the hospital. And my first immediate thought when I heard that about Cheney going to the hospital and that it would be heart-related, my first thought was, good luck to the doctors trying to find this man's heart, because I don't think he has one. I really don't. I really don't. And the other piece of good news that broke over the weekend is that Tom DeLay, this happened on Saturday, has given up his position as majority leader in the House of Representatives. Why has he done that? Because he's getting sucked into all of these scandals. And there's a ton of them brewing out there. As a matter of fact, the Los Angeles Times over the weekend carried a story where DeLay and Congressman Richard Pombo and others had tried to block the investigation into this firm owned by a rich Houston, a buddy of theirs, I guess is the term you'd use. And that they had legally killed efforts to investigate this guy. And, of course, DeLay and people working under DeLay, the tinge of the Abramoff scandal touches him as well. So he's out, and now House Republicans are going to start jockeying to see who replaces Majority Leader Tom DeLay. Representative John Bonier of Ohio said yesterday he is seeking to become the number two GOP leader in the House. Republican Whip Roy Blunt, who has been of Missouri, who's been acting majority leader, is campaigning for the job as well. So we'll see who turns out to get it on the Republican side. But good news that Tom DeLay finds himself in trouble and has to give up his majority leader post. And you know something else? I heard a sound clip of DeLay. He still makes these BS statements. Now, he's innocent until proven guilty in the Texas situation. But he stands up there, but he's got ties to all of these kind of shaky and questionable lobbying organizations. He's got ties to these shaky fundraising organizations. He's got ties to Abramoff. And DeLay stands up there and says, well, I've acted in accordance with the law in my 20-some-odd years in Congress and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, man, you know what? The more of this stuff's going to come out, we'll see. We'll see if it turns out that that's true. And by the way, there is a report coming out this week in Time magazine by Karen Tumblety, who appears on a lot of these talking head shows, that says that the FBI says that the Abramoff case is far from over and that they consider it a big victory to be able to put the squeeze on what they term the middle guy, which is Abramoff, to get him to talk about others. And that the FBI has got field offices all across the country working on the Abramoff case, and that they feel that they're going to do whatever they have to do to get this to get convictions. So, as we move into the mid-year elections coming up this year in November, we'll see how this impacts the Republican Party. It'll be very interesting. All right, it's the No Power Hour here, whatever it is you want to talk about, 303-713-7600. Oh, let me throw in one other thing, too. You know, Bush was trumpeting the economy last week in Chicago, but there's a story out on CNN Money that indicates the average retail self-service price for gasoline is up 9 cents, according to a national survey. Gas prices rose nearly 9 cents per gallon over the past 3 weeks, with the cost of self-serve regular averaging $2.30, a national survey showed on Sunday. You know what? When gas prices start going up, it puts pressure on the economy. So we'll see where this gas price situation leads to. Man, I got to tell you, I'm driving like 80 miles a day, Monday through Friday, and it's costing me. How about you, Turk? Is it costing you? You don't drive that far, though.
No, but yesterday I filled up. It was $2.28 for regular unleaded, which is pretty high. We were paying, what, like $2.05 a week ago?
But, you know, why can't this country get together a comprehensive energy plan? I mean, I admit it, I like cars. I really do. But we got to have some kind of energy plan here. How come we don't have one? We just don't have one. Does anybody know what it is? 617, 17 minutes after 6, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
We're off to a good start this morning. Starting to see the usual slowing coming out of the Thornton North Glen area. Southbound I-25 running heavy between 104th and the Turnpike, and it breaks free as you head into downtown. Now, I-70 looks good between Wheat Ridge and Aurora, 225 at 6th Avenue, they're trouble-free. And around town, things still pretty quiet on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93, Turnpike. Moved along just fine through Broomfield and Westminster. Now, off the highways, crews are working a crash. It's a rollover at 35th and Pecos. Checking the forecast, going to be cooler today. Highs only in the 40s. Right now we're at 31 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Hypnosis works.
I was a non-smoker when I walked out of there.
Hypnosis works. Call 800-735-6907.
I've lost a little over 50 pounds.
John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th.
It works right off.
Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m., weight loss at 8 p.m. Sessions are affordable at $59.95.
That's just amazing.
Stop smoking forever or lose weight and keep it off. Call 800-735-6907.
Hypnosis will be your success story.
800-735-6907.
In 2004, Steve Russo was diagnosed with lung cancer. While planning his treatment, doctors also found 7 tiny brain tumors and one that was very large.
That's right. They determined that it was 9 centimeters. That's about 3.5 inches on my brain.
For his other tumors, Steve had radiation and chemotherapy, which were successful. But for the large brain tumor, Steve came to Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're improving lives with effective, painless, non-surgical tumor treatments.
Treatment with CyberKnife was no more difficult than going to the dentist. And afterward, the tumor was gone, completely. There wasn't even any scarring. It was just gone. To be here a year later, after initially being given a 5% chance of survival, I feel very lucky.
At Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
Homeowners, the holidays are over. Paying for them may not be. If the holiday season stuffed your stocking with high interest rate credit card statements, there has never been a better time to call the mortgage store than today.
Jason Rauschelbach, CEO of the Mortgage Store.
The average family has $12,000 in credit card debt. You can make those payments month after month and never see your balances go down.
Call the Mortgage Store today. Just one phone call is all it takes to get you started saving hundreds of dollars every month.
We'll make it easy for you to pay off those credit cards. And it's tax deductible.
The Mortgage Store does the shopping for you and guarantees to save you money. There's no application fees, no out-of-pocket closing costs. Now, how's that for a fresh start for the new year?
There has never been a better time to call the Mortgage Store than today.
Call the Mortgage Store now. 303-423-7171. That's 423-7171. The Mortgage Store, where America goes for mortgages.
Bacon, Eggs, and J. Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Progressive Talk.
Ooh, nice mellow music here this morning. Good morning, 621, 21 minutes after 6. High today, 39, under mostly cloudy skies. J. Marvin here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Nice to have you along. 303-713-7600. Ralph Knees, the People for the American Way, coming up here in just a little bit at 630. And this is the no power hour in which we operate on our low signal pattern here, low power. So some of you, depending on where you are, may have to get your radios to strain to be able to pick us up. I know there's a patch down 36 around Broomfield, I think, where the signal drops out a little bit. So anyway, if you're up this morning listening, congratulations to you. Thanks for joining us during the no power hour. All three of us here this morning. Well, actually, let's see, there'd be four of us. There'd be me, there'd be John Turk, and then there'd be, well, there'd be six of us, and probably the three or four of you that are out there. Hey, has anybody seen the movie Brokeback Mountain? I haven't seen it. But then Mary and I don't go to a lot of movies. And we've kind of evolved into this situation where we see stuff on DVD. I mean, we were remarking yesterday afternoon after I got through reading the newspapers, after I got through writhing in pain on the couch yesterday afternoon, we turned on the TV, which we don't really do a lot of, and we turned it on, and we were flipping around the cable channels, and we're one of these people that pays to have, like, everything the cable has available. And there was nothing on TV to see. I mean, not a damn thing. And the movies were all, like, either crummy or we've seen them all before. So we usually wait until something comes out on DVD, and then we go see it. Which I guess, you know, if you're in the media, I guess that's not really the good thing to do. Like, for instance, probably should have gone out and seen Syriana. Probably should have gone out and seen Walk the Line. But we haven't seen them. But I want to know if there's anybody out there that has seen Brokeback Mountain. Here's the reason I ask this. It's because a movie theater owner, owned by the Utah Jazz, the owner who owns the movie theaters, Larry Miller, he abruptly changed its screening plans and decided not to show the film Brokeback Mountain. The film, an R-rated Western gay romance story, was supposed to open Friday at the Megaplex at Jordan Commons in Sandy, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City. Instead, it was pulled from the schedule. A message was posted to the ticket window that read, "There has been a change in booking, and we will not be showing Brokeback Mountain. We apologize for any inconvenience." Cal Gunderson, the manager of the Jordan Commons Megaplex, declined to comment. The film starring Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal is about two cowboys who discover feelings for one another. The two eventually marry women but rekindle their relationship over the years. The movie's distributor, Focus Features, said that hours before the opening, the theater manager management reneged on their licensing agreement and refused to open the film. So, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain. I haven't seen it at all. So, I don't know about the content of this film. But how about that? You think the movie theater was right in pulling it? Because, you know, if people don't want to see these kind of films, if they don't like this kind of stuff, if it doesn't meet community standards, wouldn't the easier thing be to just allow people, like, not to go? Like, instead of going to see Brokeback Mountain, you'd go out and see, Hostage or King Kong instead? And so there'd be nobody in the theater, and the movie would lose money. And you could say to the theater, you could say to Focus Features, well, look, we had it in the theater. We aired it. Nobody showed up. So eventually we dropped the film because we weren't getting anybody in there. I mean, don't you think that'd be the better way to go rather than just yank the film and go, we're not going to show it? I mean, as a private entity, okay, as a private, you know, entity, Larry Miller, who's the owner of the Utah Jazz, and this movie theater has the right to do whatever they want to do. They can show whatever films they want to show. So we, as the public, do not have the right to go to them and say, look, you know what, you got to show Brokeback Mountain. We don't care whether you like the film or not. But you know what? Gail Ruzicka, who's president of the conservative Utah Eagle Forum, said not showing the film sets an example for the people of Utah. I think pulling the show tells young people especially that maybe there is something wrong with this show. And Mike Thompson, executive director of the gay rights advocacy group Equality Utah, called it disappointing. It's just a shame that such a beautiful and award-winning film, with so much buzz about it not being made available to a broad Utah audience because of a personal bias, he said. And so once again, I go back to my original point. My original point is, why not just put the movie in the theater, and then if the people of Utah or any other community, Sandy, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake, you know what, if they don't want to see the film, then they don't have to. They don't have to go, and they can vote with their dollars, rather than turn around and say, well, you know what, this represents what the people of Utah feel, and so we're not going to show the film. You know, it amazes me the amount of people who stand up and speak for other people in regards to this stuff. I mean, James Dobson, for instance, at that prayer Sunday, talking about, Judge Alito, and making these broad-based comments about how the American people, you know, don't like the direction, and I'm paraphrasing here, the American people do not like the direction of the courts. The American people this, and the American people that. Do you think James Dobson really knows what the American people want? Do you think that he's gone around to every state in this union, and he's asked every person out there how they feel about the Supreme Court of the United States and the lower circuit courts and the decisions and the rulings that they make? Do you think he's actually asked anybody? Of course not. So how does he know? How does he know what the American people want and what they don't want? I mean, check this out from Dobson. Check it out.
This court has forced its will on the American people. The decisions that have been made about religious concerns have not been chosen by the American people. They have been forced on the American people, and it's time to put it to an end.
Now, don't you want to say to James Dobson, all right, look, you made the following comment about the American people. All right, cite your statistics. Tell us where you got this information. Tell us the polling group that you used. Tell us who funded the polling group. Tell us who funded the study. Or did you just, did you just pull this out of thin air, and then all of a sudden you made this statement, and that we're supposed to, like, believe this, that you just pulled it out of thin air, and we're supposed to believe what you're telling us about the American people and the separation of church and state and the court system in this country, because that's basically what he's talking about. He's basically talking about the separation of church and state. He's basically talking about the idea that the American people don't like what's going on, and the American people, along with James Dobson and all of his phony friends, should therefore then put an end to this. But yet Mr. Dobson has no... I mean, how's he going to back any of this up? How is he going to back any of this stuff up? He has no way to back it up. And it goes back to the same thing with the Brokeback Mountain. You know, how do these people in Utah, in Sandy, Utah, how do they know what people, in the Salt Lake City area or in the people of the suburb of Sandy, how do they know what those people really want and what they don't want? They don't know. So, you know, why not allow the movie to be shown? Why not allow it and let people choose? And unlike Mr. Dobson, we don't take constitutional guarantees like the separation of church and state. And you get people to call up and argue that that's not true, but it is. The separation of church and state, we don't put those up for election. We really don't. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Ralph Nies, president of the People for the American Way. That's PFAW.org. And we'll ask him about the Alito nomination. 6:30 at AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
But we are starting to see a few little problems with the drive around the tech center. I have a couple cars tangled up and police on the shoulder southbound I-25 near Dry Creek. Then watch for a car that hit a pole. That's on the ramp from Arapahoe onto southbound I-25. Then on the north end of town, seeing the usual delays coming out of the Thornton North Glen area. Southbound I-25 now running heavy from 104 to the turnpike. Then things open up for your ride into downtown. Out the highways, we have crews working a rollover accident at 35th and Pecos and around town. Things picking up now on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93, the turnpike a little sluggish eastbound as you approach Federal. Checking the forecast today, could be a little cooler. Highs only in the 40s. Right now we're at 31 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
K&H Quest is the only window and siding company in Colorado personally endorsed by Tom Martino, and they'll help you save on your heating bills. Right now, when you buy one window, you get one free. That's right, buy one, get one free. For a free in-home estimate, call 421-7100 or go to khwindows.com.
We changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Paramount Medical Services reminds that our country's most vital resource is our children. Last year, there were nearly 3 million reported cases of child abuse and neglect in the United States. Victims of abuse can suffer physically and mentally for years, but child abuse can be prevented. Let's work to stop this senseless yet treatable problem by helping families in trouble get the help they need. This is from Paramount Medical Services in Denver. Paramount Medical Services. They care about our kids.
6:31, 20 minutes before 7 o'clock on AM 760 Progressive Talk. And I talked to you here a few minutes ago about driving 80 miles a day. And you know what? With the price of gas, that can be a real problem. But Mary and I have a car that gets excellent gas mileage, and we got it at Rocky's Autos. Rocky's Autos has the largest selection of clean late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. And we got it there. And you know what? It is dynamite. As a matter of fact, we just had it recently checked out. Because, you know, it was about time for an oil change and all that stuff. We took it in, and it passed with flying colors. I mean, they said this thing is in excellent condition. And that's the kind of vehicles you'll find at Rocky's. They've all been thoroughly inspected and checked out. And every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care. 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Go to RockiesAutos.com. Check out the selection for yourself. Find out about their business policy and their business philosophy, because it's right there on RockiesAutos.com. Rockies, with friendly, knowledgeable people there to help you, friends like the Alshire brothers and my man Spanky and Colby. They're all good people. Rockies Autos has been family-owned and operated since 1982, and they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Who decided the best way to lose weight was by skipping things? Like breakfast. The truth is, studies suggest that breakfast actually plays an important role in weight loss, and that the calcium and nutrients in milk make breakfast work even harder for helping you achieve a healthy weight. And including low-fat or fat-free milk with breakfast is a great way to get closer to your goal of 24 ounces a day. Still think skipping breakfast is a good idea? 24 ounces in 24 hours. Milk your diet. Lose weight. To learn more about the science, go to 2424milk.com.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Log on to eHarmony.com today and receive our new compatibility profile that will tell you all about the type of person with whom you're going to be most compatible. That's a $50 value at no charge. eHarmony.com. Visit us today.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 6:34, 25 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. Actually, 26 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. High today, 39, mostly cloudy skies. AM 760, Progressive Talk. And let's go to the phone and talk to Ralph Neese, President and CEO of People for the American Way. And Ralph, good morning and welcome to the show. Oh, I got to get him on here. Good morning, Ralph. Hi, you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good morning. It's an honor to be on the show.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. And by the way, did you see over the weekend on Sunday in a little article about Pat Robertson in the op-ed page section, the weekend review section, actually, of the New York Times, you guys got a little plug, as well as Barry Lynn and People for the Separation of Church and State as being two of the foremost organizations that fight the religious right in this country.
Jay, I did see it in a number of other articles. We had... I've been monitoring, of course, the right for the last 25 years, and we discovered the tape of Pat Robertson saying this incredibly arrogant and insensitive remarks about Sharon.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that was a great plug. All right, let's talk about Alito here, and there's so much to go over, and there's so little time that we have together here in this segment of the program. And Alito has got problems in a lot of areas, troubling questions about him, not only just the abortion issue, but so many other issues. For instance, this whole thing with Vanguard Insurance. Can you explain that about Vanguard?
Absolutely, Jay, and I think you made a very important point at the top. This is not about one issue. This is going to be a confrontation between two radically different interpretations of the Constitution, and unfortunately, Samuel Alito is in the mode of Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, not Sandra Day O'Connor, a mainstream conservative. But you mentioned the Vanguard issue. In addition to the judicial philosophy issues, Senator Kennedy and others have been developing on the facts that they know a credibility gap because Samuel Alito, in a number of different ways, first with his promise in 1990 to recuse himself from any case that came before him that involved the Vanguard Mutual Fund or Smith Barney or his sister-in-law's law firm. And on several occasions, he broke his promise. Now, that's not necessarily illegal or against the code of ethics, but he told the promise under oath to the Senate that he wouldn't do so. And now there have been six different interpretations of why he did it. And he has a credibility problem on that. He's got a credibility problem on a range of issues.
You know, the other thing that's really, really in the public debate now is the NSA spying story. And then the idea that this presidency, that this president, in a very, very arrogant way, has decided that he's above the law and to enlarge his powers. And this whole thing may go before the Supreme Court. And Alito, in his writings and in his statements, has talked continuously about the powers of the president. He has supported the supremacy of the elected branches over the judiciary. That's got to be troubling.
Jay, you again have gone maybe right to the heart of what much of the debate is going to be about. There's certainly going to be questions on civil rights, for example. How come in all the divided cases, 85% of the time, you decided against the civil rights plaintiff? There'll be discussions about the role of government and privacy. And privacy addresses a little bit of what you were talking about before, and this is maybe the most important issue for the American public. And Roe versus Wade, of course, is a privacy issue. And his condoning a strip search of a 10-year-old girl without a search warrant is certainly a privacy issue. But Americans are petrified, according to the polls, about illegal domestic wiretapping. Our homes, getting into our homes and listening to what we are saying without getting an appropriate search warrant. And what he did, Jay, and you referred to it, two decades ago, he said when executive branch officials break the law with respect to wiretapping, they should have absolute immunity. This is George III. This is not President Bush. No president can be given that kind of authority. We fought a revolutionary war about such things.
It's scary. It's scary.
Very scary.
It's scary. And do you think that the Democrats should definitely filibuster this nomination?
Our position, Jay, is, of course, that we oppose this nomination for many, many different reasons. We've asked senators, Republicans and Democrats alike, not to take a position until after the hearings are over, and at that time to assess what their positions will be and whether they should wage a filibuster. With every passing day, especially if he does not answer questions, if he tries to filibuster the senators, if he refuses to respond to questions about his record, about his views, which are very much part of a long legal paper trail, just like Robert Bork in 1987, I could see a combination of circumstances would be totally justified to oppose such a person through a filibuster.
6:40, 20 minutes in front of 7 o'clock on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Ralph Mies with us, President and CEO of People for the American Way. You know, even David Broder, who's not what I would consider to be a flaming left-winger, in a column over the weekend, he said that Alito has some explaining to do about his past decisions and about his past writings.
I was very surprised by the Broder column because David Broder, especially in recent years, has given the president such a pass on so many different issues and very rarely speaks critically of Supreme Court nominees. He was tough yesterday, and he basically said that Alito's got a steep hill to climb, and there is so much on the record regarding his views and how he could possibly turn back the clock, the constitutional clock, many decades. And I think also David Broder is very worried about checks and balances and not having separation of powers and having each branch making sure the other branch is not acting inconsistently with the Constitution.
But does he really have a steep hill to climb? I mean, does he really, when Democrats are in the minority, does he really, are we going to end up with this guy ultimately?
I think that if you'd asked me that question 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said that the odds greatly favor the confirmation of Samuel Alito. Right now, I think there's a good chance that not just Democrats, but some Republicans could oppose this nomination because it's such a dangerous nomination, and it's not Roberts' arch-conservative replacing William Rehnquist. It's an arch-conservative, a dangerous conservative replacing the swing vote, Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a mainstream conservative and, quite frankly, especially in the last decade, was the fifth and decisive vote to protect privacy, to protect equal opportunity, clean air, clean water, religious liberty, and a host of other issues. This is going to be, I think, a big fight, and it should be. This is a healthy, vital democracy, and if the people and the senators feel that someone is going to undermine the Constitution and take away cherished rights and liberties and legal protections that we've all taken for granted for decades, then such a person should be opposed.
You really believe, though, that there are some moderate Republicans and maybe some libertarian-based Republicans who would oppose this guy based on his writings and based on the idea that he sides with the power of the executive branch and that he sides with the power of government at every turn of the mile? Do you really think there are some Republicans who would oppose his nomination?
I think there are some Republicans, and as you know, Jay, I was a Republican for a long time and chief counsel to two Republican senators, but there are not a lot of senators like Ed Brooke around anymore who are moderate, liberal Republicans. But some Republicans who care about the environment, some Republicans who care about choice and privacy, and a number of Republicans who care about presidential power and the lack of checks and balance. In all of our polling and focus groups, Jay, the one line that registers the highest is America works best when no one party has absolute power. The Bush people want absolute power.
I got to be really upfront with you. I'm just so scared that we can't stop this guy. I am so scared, and I'm scared of the damage that he would do based on his circuit court rulings and the insensitivity that he shows towards women. Minorities, and really just everyday people.
He should frighten the vast majority of American people. He's Antonin Scalia without the bombast. He's not as menacing in his language as Thomas and Scalia, but I think it makes him more dangerous because he appears to come across as more moderate and not so radical. But Samuel Alito is as radical a nominee as we've had before the Supreme Court in maybe a half a century.
So you believe he is stoppable?
He is stoppable, but it will only be because your listeners and millions of others contact their senators and say, stop this horrible nomination. We delivered 1.1 million petitions to Arlen Specter and other senators last Thursday, but we need many millions more.
All right, Ralph Neese, President and CEO of People for the American Way, and you can check out their website, People for the American Way, at pfaw.org. Thanks so much for getting up early in the morning and being on the program. And I, you know what, my fingers are crossed, and I just only hope. And I know that the correct way to put this is to wait until the hearings. But, you know, based on this guy's background, I hope we can stop him. I really do.
Jay, we certainly haven't waited, as you know, until the hearings. But the senators are sitting, in some respects, as judges, and I can understand the strategy of waiting until all the evidence is in. But we've got to let the Senate hear from their constituents. That's the big difference.
All right, Ralph, thanks, and have a good morning, and thank you, too, for all your work.
Well, I appreciate it, Jay, and please stay in touch with us.
You got it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, when I read that Alito thing, when I read all this stuff about Alito, the first thing I thought was, well, and when I read that thing in the Week in Review yesterday in the New York Times, the first thing I thought was, well, I got to join People for the American Way. I really do. 6:45, 50 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. It's the No Power Hour, 303-713-7600. I'm tempted to ask, I really am tempted to ask you in the time we have left here, whether you believe... And you can call and talk about whatever is on your mind, but whether you believe that the Democratic Party, whether you believe that they should filibuster this guy, because you know something? I believe he should be stopped. And then, of course, we get in this whole situation about the nuclear option and the Gang of 14, which Ken Salazar was a part of. But I think we've got to step forward and say no to Samuel Alito. I really do. Do you think the Democrats ought to filibuster, or do you think that'll wait until the hearings and see how this guy answers the questions? 303-713-7600. I got three lines open. It's AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It is Test Drive Tuesday from the Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Get a $40 voucher for gas when you take a test drive on Tuesdays. Look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Power tools.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
But we are starting to see a few little problems with the drive around the tech center. I have a couple cars tangled up and police on the shoulder southbound I-25 near Dry Creek. Then watch for a car that hit a pole. That's on the ramp from Arapahoe onto southbound I-25. Then on the north end of town, seeing the usual delays coming out of the Thornton North Glen area. Southbound I-25 now running heavy from 104 to the turnpike. Then things open up for your ride into downtown. Now off the highways, we have crews working a rollover accident at 35th and Pecos and around town. Things picking up now on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93, the turnpike a little sluggish eastbound as you approach Federal. Checking the forecast today, could be a little cooler, highs only in the 40s. Right now we're at 31 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Ed Schultz, weekday afternoons 1 to 4.
What I'm talking to you about is not a liberal or conservative issue. It's truth or it's a lie. It's morally right or it's morally wrong.
Ed Schultz on AM 760.
Who's responsible?
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
He said, I have always been among those who believed that the greatest freedom of speech was the greatest safety. Because if a man is a fool, the best thing to do is to encourage him to advertise the fact by speaking. If you let him speak, the secret is out, and the world knows that he is a fool. President Woodrow Wilson, 1919. Hello, I'm Linda Lebsack, one of 20 booksellers at the Denver Book Mall on Broadway between 1st and Ellsworth in Denver. Please join us in support of Progressive Talk, AM 760.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-508-7100. That's 1-800-508-7100. 1-800-508-7100.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
Call LendingTree now to take advantage of their new home equity offer. You can get a $40,000 loan for only $200 a month. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website or call for details and licensing.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. It's so easy. This software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Oh, yeah. Born under a bad sign. If it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all.
Born under a bad sign.
A little cream here this morning.
I've been down since I began to crawl.
Isn't that great stuff?
It wasn't the bad luck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have no luck at all.
6:50, 10 minutes away from 7 o'clock. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin here. High today, 31 under partly cloudy skies. Coming up after 7 o'clock. Big article today in the Rocky Mountain News. GOP aims to regain House. We'll talk to State Senate Majority Leader Ken Gordon about the legislative agenda, which he plans and the Democrats plan for this year. And the legislative session kicks off starting this week. 303-713-7600, taking calls here in the No Power Hour on a variety of subjects, including whether you think the Democrats should filibuster the Samuel Alito nomination. And here's John in Loveland, who wants to talk about Rush Limbaugh. John, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you know, I pick you up here in Fort Collins every morning at 6 o'clock, so you're not low power, really.
Well, we always term this as the No Power Hour because we are on the night pattern. Plus, on top of that, if we get like five calls in this first hour, we're lucky.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm picking it up. Anyway, I when Rush Limbaugh first came on the air, you know, I've listened to talk radio a long time. He used to be kind of funny. He had his feminazi stuff and this kind of thing. And then it just got getting more and more and more and more blatant. And I had wondered how long it's going to take the Democrats or the other side to have a voice on the air. And finally this came around. You got you and you got Schultz and Franken, and I'm glad it's coming around. And I'm glad that your company is offering the other side. But, you know, I turn him in once in a while at lunchtime, and he just goes on. He's like water torture. I can't believe that this guy's got, I don't know how they determine ratings, but he just goes on and on and on. And when anybody calls in, he just overtalks them and blows them off, and he's so opinionated. And look, I don't think he's even got anything scripted, or he just walks on there and starts talking. I mean, it's just like I say, it's like listening to water torture. And I don't know how they can blow off 50,000 watts on this guy in the middle of the day. And I don't determine how he gets ratings. How does that happen?
He does. He's on over 600 radio stations. He's on Armed Forces Radio Network, and he does get good numbers. And talk radio has traditionally, for the most part, has traditionally pretty much been, in the last 18, 20 years, a bastion of conservative radio. You used to have a sprinkling of liberals every now and then, because I used to be amongst those sprinkling. And we're just starting to develop our voice, and we're just starting to develop our infrastructure in the media. And Limbaugh tells, terrible, terrible lies, terrible. He twists the facts. I mean, the best place to go to see about that stuff is MediaMattersForAmerica.org, where they document where he does this stuff. I just don't listen to him. And then there's some personal stories I could tell you about him, which I won't, for fear of being sued. But, I just ignore him, basically, because nothing, you can't believe anything he says. That's the problem.
That's what I do. I just turn it off. I mean, I can't listen to it. I mean, if he was the only station on, or I have to go to cowboy music or something, I don't know. Because
I agree. I mean, I agree. It's very, very rough to deal with him. John, thanks, man.
All right.
I wish I could tell those. And someday I will tell these stories about my encounters with Mr. Limbaugh. The last time I had an encounter with him was WLS in Chicago, which, if you grew up there, you know, has a legendary history of being a legendary top 40 radio station, similar to like Kim here in Denver. And the management was so right-wing that they took this station's birthday party, I think it was like its 80th birthday, and they made it a total right-wing, a Bund fest, basically. And they brought Limbaugh into town, and you know what? I would not go say hello to him. I just wouldn't. I had nothing to say to him. Nothing, not a word one. Unless I should have gone to him and asked if he wanted to borrow some OxyContin. Let's go to Jeremy in Loveland. Jeremy, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in here with a raging cold.
Oh, man, you've been fighting one for most of the winter, haven't you?
Yeah, and now I got a temperature, which makes it even worse.
Well, you know what they say. I mean, take your vitamin C and all that stuff, and it'd be all right. But, hey, I thought you might be interested to know, I travel for a living, and I tell you what, I've heard Rush Limbaugh talk about, he kind of perpetuates this myth that AM 760 is just kind of a backyard radio station, kind of a shade tree, homemade sort of deal. But I pick it up from Boulder as far away as Casper, Wyoming, Chadron, Nebraska.
Mm.
You look at the map, and that's some serious distance right there.
Yeah, we do have kind of a weird, even during the no power hour, we have kind of a weird kind of nighttime pattern out there, and that I have gotten emails from people in Nebraska and South Dakota.
Yeah. And I pick it up on the western slope, all the way as far as, out there in Meeker and Rangeley, and, it's a little spotty out there, but it comes in, you know.
Yeah, if you're willing to put up with the static and all that kind of stuff, you definitely can hear the station.
Exactly. And, I just wanted to say, as far as Rex Limbaugh goes, Jay, one of my greatest pleasures in life comes from knowing that I'm going to outlive that guy, So, hey, that's all.
I don't know what his health's like. I have no idea what his health's like. Here's a guy who, this is the biggest thing. Here's a guy who used to get on the air and say, anybody, you people who takes drugs and takes them illegally, you people should be thrown in jail. Then it turns around that this guy is accused of doctor shopping and this whole OxyContin business, and we'll see where that goes in the state of Florida. But if he was getting that OxyContin illegally, and I preface that by saying if he was, then according to his own dictates and his own standards, that he ought to go to jail.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Well, hypocrisy is the name of his game, first of all. And second of all, I mean, you've seen how he's fought tooth and nail to keep all those records sealed and private, and and he really is playing the game well, because the way he's kind of ignoring this thing and the way the whole right wing kind of ignores that whole issue with the OxyContin, I mean, they really kind of made it a non-issue, you know? I mean, you can imagine what would have happened if some beloved, liberal had gotten caught in a similar situation. He would have been crucified for it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The right-wing media would have never stopped. But here's something you can take away this morning with a smile. You got to know he's spending a ton of money in legal fees.
Oh, yeah.
plus, from what I understand, is he's divorced yet again. Mr. Family Values, who has been married three times. Congratulations. How do you explain that to people? Well, you people, I know Family Values, but of course I've been married three times. All right, hey, Jeremy, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, Jay. Good impression.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You people. Rush Limbaugh, marriage update. Okay, so when's he going to get married to number four? That's what I want to know.
Well, wasn't there speculation he was dating Darian Kagan from CNN?
Yeah. So that shows you she's either blind, crippled, or crazy. All right, we're going to talk to Ken Gordon coming up here on AM 760.
It's him and SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Looking for books, tapes, magazines, t-shirts, and other people interested in creating a better society? You'll find that and more at Left Hand Books on the Pearl Street Mall. In addition to their vast selection of progressive media, you'll find a video lending library, civic organizations, and people who are working for justice. Register to win fair trade coffee and DVDs of Fahrenheit 911. No purchase necessary. Left Hand Books on the Pearl Street Mall. Store hours, upcoming events, and volunteer opportunities are online at lefthandbooks.org.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
AM 760, Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Randy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy, your progressive station. KKZN, Fortin, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. A vote for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito.
Sam Alito is eminently qualified to be a member of the bench.
Unfortunately for President Bush, his vote doesn't count as the Senate confirmation process begins with a hearing that starts in 3 hours. Mr. Bush spoke after breakfast with the judge.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
College women arrive here wearing No to Alito stickers, part of the sidelines battle. Enlisted as lieutenants for him, former law clerks making speeches and ads.
He's a fair judge.
Judge Alito is a man of honor, integrity, principle.
There's filibuster talk, but confirmation is expected if Alito negotiates what could be a rocky hearing, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cullen.
Judge Alito is going to have to be very careful about becoming argumentative before those committee members who already are a little concerned about his record.
This is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Now here's Frank Settapani.
Vice President Cheney left the hospital in Washington about 9 minutes ago with a police escort after emergency treatment for a breathing problem. Live to CBS's Peter Mayer at the White House.
The vice president's office now says doctors believe that breathing difficulty was part of a reaction to a medication that Cheney was taking for a foot problem. Physicians gave him a diuretic to relieve fluid retention. Because of his long history of heart problems, including 4 heart attacks, the vice president also took an electrocardiogram. His office says the test was unchanged from previous exams. The vice president will be 65 later this month. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
South Carolina companies recalling a lot of pet food. Live to CBS's Peter King. Peter, what's wrong?
Well, the dog food was tainted with aflatoxin, a naturally occurring chemical that causes severe liver damage. The FDA says at least 76 dogs have died. Others are severely disabled. For example, a South Carolina woman says nursing her chow has become a 24/7 job. The Diamond Pet Food Company promises to help, says it'll pay vet bills for dogs that got sick or died. The FDA's investigating. Frank?
Arnold Schwarzenegger sporting a badge of honor, a fat lip from a motorcycle accident near his Los Angeles home.
A driver was backing onto the road just as the governor and his son came rolling down the road on a Harley. The governor was treated at a nearby hospital. He received 15 stitches on his lip and then was released. His son Patrick suffered cuts and bruises.
CBS's Hattie Kaufman in Los Angeles. Prime Minister Sharon reportedly moved his hand after doctors in Jerusalem began easing him out of a medically induced coma. Boston stroke specialist Lee Schwam says doctors will be watching for blinking and other reflex actions to see how much damage Sharon's stroke has caused.
It would be a good sign if we saw a very brisk return of those reflexes. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it was a bad sign if we didn't.
MyGreatChoice.com may not have been a great choice. The Seattle Times says the website took orders and money from thousands of holiday shoppers but didn't deliver the goods. Amazon.com, which directed customers to the site, is working to get the money back. S&P futures are down a point. This is CBS News.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare prescription drug benefit plans. Medicare-approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Co-payment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
Call the Mortgage Store today at 303-423-7171.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Well, things are starting to pick up around town. Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93 getting busier. So is Arapahoe, Broadway, and Bayside. And the Turnpike now slows eastbound as you approach Federal and stays heavy over to Pecos. Now, I've seen some trouble for the drive around the Tech Center. Had a couple cars off to the shoulder near Dry Creek. Those have been cleared out of the way, but now have this car that hit a pole. It's sitting on the ramp from Arapahoe onto southbound I-25. Then on the north end of town, seeing the usual delays. Coming out of the Thornton North Glen area, busy southbound I-25 between 104th and the Turnpike. Then things open up as you head into downtown. Off the highways, crews have cleared this rollover accident at 35th and Pecos. Checking the forecast, going to be cooler today. Highs only in the 40s. Right now we're at 31 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's the big one. It's the Denver Boat Show, January 19th through the 22nd at the Colorado Convention Center. 30 dealers, over 500 new boats, and the best deals of the year with incredible incentives. Discount tickets available at King Supers. Get more info at BoatColorado.org. That's BoatColorado.org.
You'll lose weight and keep it off or stop smoking once and for all with hypnosis. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Call 800-735-6907, 800-735-6907.
Call LendingTree now to take advantage of their new home equity offer. You can get a $40,000 loan for only $200 a month. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website or call for details and licensing.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:05, 5 minutes after 7, high today, 39, mostly cloudy skies. AM 760, Progressive Talk, Jay Marvin along with you. All right, it's nice to have you here. Have I told you that lately? Yeah, it's nice to be able to get together with you this morning. We're going to talk to State Senator Ken Gordon. And there's a ton of stuff to talk about here. The legislative session kicks off this week. And, of course, you know there's going to be an argument over the spending of money from Referendum C. And also, the GOP is claiming that they have a really good chance to regain House seats because Democrats have a 5-seat edge in the state House of Representatives and only a 1-seat majority in the Senate. But Republicans think it'll be easier to take back the House. So we'll talk to Ken Gordon about that, but let's welcome State Senator Ken Gordon to AM 760. And, Senator, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Jay.
Nice to have you on. All right, let's talk about this legislative session that's going to kick off this week. First of all, you know there's going to be an argument over the spending of C, correct?
Well, I'm not sure that there's going to be as much of an argument as people are saying. I mean, the governor has asked for more money for transportation than the legislature's likely to give him, but so the governor doesn't write the budget. He proposes a budget, and I think those of us, at least in the majority party, the Democrats in the legislature, are perfectly clear that we want to follow the will of the people as expressed in Referendum C.
So you don't think there's going to be – but all right, so you don't think there's going to be that much bickering between Republicans and Democrats over where the money from Referendum C is going to go?
I'm sure there will be a lot of bickering, but everybody – even nobody's going to want to be seen as not doing what the people said they wanted in the vote. So, you know, there's different ways to do what the people wanted, and there'll be some bickering about that. But I can tell you, and I'll tell the people who are listening, we're going to spend a third of the money, approximately a third on K-12 education, a third on health care, and a third on higher ed, and that's what we think the people voted for.
And what about those on the governor's side and those on the Republican side? And that's not all of them, of course, but those who want money for roads, what's your answer to them?
Well, sometimes we act like all Democrats do is send their kids to school and all Republicans do is drive. The truth is that we do need roads in Colorado and we do need to spend some money on it. Not as much as the governor wants, but quite a bit. Referendum C provides more money to go into capital construction and a lot of that's going to go into roads.
All right, immigration.
Yeah.
That's a hot-button issue in this country, and it's a hot-button issue in this state. Any plans to take up immigration? And really, you know what I can't figure out is a lot of people want the state to do something about this, but it's really a federal issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's definitely more of a federal issue. There's very little that we can do in the state. We only provide the services now that the federal government tells us that we should. But I think it is the Republicans feel that it's a wedge issue, that it's an issue that hurts Democrats just by raising it. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of discussion about immigration. And the Democrats don't support illegal conduct, but we also recognize that there's almost nobody here in this country that doesn't have some immigrants in his background, and we need to honor that. Remember that.
But how do we fight this? I mean, because there's so many different plans out there, and as I said before, most of this debate, at least on a state level, is counterproductive because the federal government, that's their job, not the state. And I know that Andrew Romanoff has quoted in the paper here a couple of weeks ago that Democrats are going to try to raise the idea of English proficiency, correct?
Well, the Democrats in the House, that's something that they want to do.
But not in the Senate.
Well, we talked about it in the Senate. We weren't as enthusiastic about it. I mean, we think that people should learn how to speak English anyway when they go to school. So, yeah, I guess I'll agree with Andrew on that. Let me say this. Alice Madden has a good approach. Alice Madden is going to run a resolution in the legislature that explains what the federal government requires and what the federal government doesn't require, and explains how this really isn't that much of a state issue. Some of what we should do as leaders is educate the people as to what's a real issue and what's not. We think it's perfectly fine for all the people that are concerned about this to contact their congresspeople and their United States senators as well. Those are the people that have more to do with immigration.
7:10, 10 minutes after 7 on AM 760 Progressive Talk, and we have State Senator Ken Gordon with us this morning. All right, if I sat you down and I said to you, Senator, what are your three biggest priorities for this legislative session? What would you do? Give me your answers.
Well, I feel a lot of responsibility to effectuate the will of the people with the money that came in from Referendum C. So if anyone argues that we should do something different with it, I'll be against that. I think those are our main priorities, even if it hadn't been the will of the people. K-12 education, higher education, and health care. So that's one. Another one that I'm concerned about is climate change and global warming. And there are some things we can do at the state level about that. Our state buildings can be more energy efficient. We can give incentives to people to use more energy efficient appliances and do things in their own homes. And I'm also, North Carolina passed a law to set up a task force to look at issues involving greenhouse gases. And so that's another area that we might follow in Colorado. And then, let's see, Referendum C. We have a lot to do with health care. Medicaid increases at a rate faster than inflation, and Referendum C did nothing to change that. We're not going to have enough money to pay for health care unless we come up with some ways to economize and do it more efficiently, and so health care is going to be a huge issue as well.
All right, there's an article today in the Rocky Mountain News. GOP aims to regain House. And it mentions that the Democrats have a 5-seat edge in the state house, but in the Senate, there's only, what, one seat that you guys hold an edge with, only one seat. Do you think there's a chance the GOP can reverse that?
Well, I'm sure they're very interested in doing that. But, you know, once you've been called Mr. Chairman, it hurts to have the other party have up the chairs of all the committees and the leadership and the legislature. But, you know, I think there's a few things going on here. The Democrats were able to work in the middle. We worked on the issues that people cared about. We worked on the budget. We worked on getting money for health care and education. And the Republicans, when they were in control before that, had gotten off kind of to the far right edge with a lot of discussion about preventing gays from having civil rights and making sure that every third grader's right to bear arms was protected and the Ten Commandments in every classroom. And these are things, I mean, they're issues that just weren't the sort of bread and butter issues, mainstream issues that people cared about. So we're going to keep working on what we think people care about. And we got referendum. We worked with Republicans to get referendum C passed, and I think that people see that if they work with us, they're going to get the things passed that they care about. And not only that, I think the national picture, a lot of people go to vote, and they vote on all the races based on how they feel about the president, and I don't think they feel that great about the president right now. So I'm pretty confident that we're going to be able to keep the General Assembly here in Colorado, but anything can happen. A year is a long time. But I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, my next follow-up question to that is, do you believe that in the Senate that Democrats can increase the number of seats that they hold?
I think we can. I think that there may be two or three seats that we might be able to pick up that that are in Republican hands right now. I don't think we're going to lose anything we've got.
Well, you know, when you bring up this whole point about the president, I mean, his polls are low, and you have the Abramoff scandal, and you've got these other things going on which are unfolding, and it reflects badly on the Republican Party and on the GOP, and as you're also saying, and this is very, very true, that the November elections are, you know, a long way away. But in the end, do you think that you can not only capitalize, and I'm kind of re-asking the question again, but do you think you can not only capitalize on the seats held in the Senate, but what's your take on the House of Representatives, too?
Well, we have a five-seat lead in the House and a one-seat lead in the Senate. So we have a bigger margin in the House. I think that I know the Republicans are going to try to get at least one of the houses back. They feel that they need that. And a big blow to them was when Mark Larson decided not to run against Jim Isgar in the Senate. So I think that might be why the story in today's paper was concentrating on the House. But I have to tell you that we have good candidates, good people in the House. And we did, like I said, we worked on and got past this change to Tabor, which is going to allow us to fund education and health care. And I hope the people of Colorado recognize that we've done good work. And I admit, I want to say that the governor and other Republicans were helpful to that as well and worked with us. And so that's a good reason to keep the Democrats at least in control of the House and the Senate, because we work well with others, and when the Republicans were in control, they didn't.
All right, State Senator Ken Gordon, thanks for joining us this morning. And, you know, we're going to be watching to see what happens with the money with C and the other initiatives, and let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that the Democrats retain control.
Jay, it's always a pleasure. I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for coming on the program. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
There's State Senator Ken Gordon. We'll see. We'll see if the Democrats can retain control and also if they can get the stuff done with referendum C that all of us voted on. And you know the D barely failed, that all of us voted on this money to be able to fix the state. And so we'll see if they can carry out the will of the people. Coming up next year on the AM 760 Progressive Talk, Harry Belafonte, is what he said about George W. Bush over the top, yes or no? And that's coming up, 7:16, 16 minutes after 7, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. 1-800-900-5541. 1-800-900-5541. That's 1-800-900-5541.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Quality, value, design, innovation, customer satisfaction, strength. At Engel Homes, it's simply better.
At Engle Homes, they understand that purchasing a home is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. That's why they make it their mission to make this experience the best it can be. From condominiums to townhomes to gorgeous single-family homes, Engle Homes has something perfect for you. Consider McKay Landing, Broomfield's community of choice. Nestled between McKay Lake and a golf course, McKay Landing offers a 16-acre central park area, including a rec center with a swimming pool, playing fields, tot lot and city park, daycare center, and elementary school. With townhome-style living from the upper 100s, single-family homes from the low 300s, and estate homes from the mid 400s, McKay Landing has something for everyone. Visit one of McKay Landing's 10 decorated models today. Would you like to find out more about Engle Homes? Pull up the media player and click on the banner, or visit EngleHomesColorado.com to find out more about McKay Landing. That's ENGLEHomesColorado.com.
With our SEDAC Lifetime LASIK Commitment, and our $1,000 savings makes it that much sweeter. But don't take my word for it. Call 303-C2020 and see for yourself. That's 303-C2020 for Spivak Vision, the only way to see.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Jay Marvin, 720 on AM 760, Progressive Talk, 720, 20 minutes after 7, high today, 39. Glad that I've got some kind of comprehensive health care program. Man, I feel lousy this morning, which is not what you're supposed to say when you're on the radio in the morning. You're not supposed to say how bad you feel. You know, we had a discussion, and Turk can probably remember this better than I can, because I'm bad with dates, and it seems like everything just kind of bleeds together. But was it last week, I think it was, that somebody called up around 6:39 during the No Power Hour and talked about the fact that they resented the idea that certain hosts on this radio station name call. Was that last week? I think it was last week.
Yeah, that was last week. That was your first week back from vacation. That was all last week. We got a lot of that last week.
Yeah. So, and then I pointed out, well, like the 850-pound gorilla in the whole conversation is Rush Limbaugh, your people, who definitely does that. And there's others on the right that do it, too, as well, Michael Savage and others. You know, I try not to. Even though at times I'm really, really tempted to do it, I try not to. And I generally don't know how you feel about this, because we've never really thrown this out. But Harry Belafonte made a statement over the weekend in Caracas, Venezuela. And I wonder if you think this is over the top. U.S. singer and activist Harry Belafonte called President Bush the greatest terrorist in the world on Sunday. And he said millions of Americans support the socialist revolution of Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez. You know, Hugo Chavez is a pretty controversial figure. Belafonte, a UNICEF Goodwill ambassador, led the delegation of Americans that met with the Venezuelan president for more than 6 hours on Saturday. No matter what the greatest tyrant in the world, the greatest terrorist in the world, George W. Bush says, we're here to tell you, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of American people support your revolution, Belafonte, who's 78, told Chavez during the broadcast. All right, now here is Harry Belafonte talking about George W. Bush.
No matter what the greatest tyrant in the world, the greatest terrorist in the world, George W. Bush says, we're here to tell you, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of the American people, millions, support your revolution, support their ideas, and we are expressing our solidarity with you.
Clarity of that audio is amazing, isn't it? All right, is Belafonte too over the top? You know, you set the guidelines here at 303-713-7600. Is Belafonte too over the top in calling Bush a terrorist and a tyrant? Or is that permissible? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it's okay? And we all, maybe not publicly, but we all personally call names. Privately is the word I want to throw out there. We all privately call names. I mean, it's right. I mean, who's going to be the first person to step forward and go, okay, you know what? I've never called another person a name. I've never sat back and seen George W. Bush on television or Dick Cheney and have never called that person a name. Now, Mary has an aunt, and her name is Carolyn. And Carolyn lives in Arkansas. And Carolyn is a pretty plain-speaking person. And she called George W. Bush that squinty-eyed little pig in a conversation with Mary. And I'm sorry, but I thought it was funny. But now, you know, is this the kind of thing, though, that, you know, that I should say on the air? That I should address George W. Bush as a squinty-eyed little pig? And is Harry Belafonte, in calling Bush a terrorist and a tyrant, is he over the top in using this kind of language? Now, here it is again. Listen carefully.
No matter what the greatest tyrant in the world, the greatest terrorist in the world, George W. Bush says, we're here to tell you, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of the American people, millions, support your revolution, support your ideas, and we are expressing our solidarity with you.
See, I don't know that millions of Americans support the socialist revolution of Hugo Chavez, but is calling George W. Bush a tyrant and a terrorist an acceptable thing? 303-713-7600, two lines open. Let's go to Van in Boulder. Van, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, guys. You know, I actually don't think we call enough names. I really do. And I think that Harry Belafonte was right on calling Bush whatever he wants to call him.
Really? You don't think we call enough names?
No, not even close. I mean, I think that, you know, if you listen to, you know, any type of public, you know, any type of right-wing radio, or you watch any of the mainstream media and you watch, you know, what Republicans do in terms of vilifying the opposition, they've perfected it. It's an art form for them. And, you know, I keep coming back to this. We think we're in a clean fight. We're not in a clean fight. This is a dirty fight. And I think the nasty names that you can come up with are important. I think they help couch the argument and set the scene for the fight. And I think that, you know, when you're being all respectful, you know, to you know, these neocon fascist pigs in the Bush crime family, you know, just to, I've been working on my insults.
Yeah, but isn't it better though to defeat them with ideas? Isn't it better to defeat them with ideas than to call them names? And I give you an example. It's one of my favorite examples. During the presidential campaign, and I've given this on the air before, during the presidential campaign, John Kerry would have been better off if he had full force stood up against the Swift boat veterans and has said directly to George W. Bush, all right, we know where I was during Vietnam. Where were you? Answer the question about where you were. Okay, is that more effective? Is that more effective in challenging somebody directly? Is that more effective than calling somebody a fascist or a pig?
Well, you know, it may be part of the puzzle, but I think you've got to get your insults ready. You got to wield them with force. It puts the other guy off balance. You know, if you use polemic as kind of the setup, as the jab, and then finish with the right hand of logic and reason, the guy's down on the mat. You know, I think that we think we're in, you know, a public high school debate. This is about the future of the country.
Yeah, I think there's some who feel that way, Van. I think there are others of us who feel like, you know, the liberals and progressives, one of their great downfalls is they fail to hold the right to account. They fail to hold their feet to the fire. But I'm not sure if name-calling gets you there.
No, alone it doesn't. But, I mean, I think it's important to apply labels to your enemy. And I think that, you know, the labels, they couch the whole conversation. So if you come into it and you come into it with this idea that, well, hey, you know, maybe Bush is a neocon fascist pig, and then the reasons back it up, you know, I just think we've been playing nice, and I think look where it got us. You know, we're the minority in the House, the Senate, you know, we don't have as much many governorships. I mean, we've been playing the nice guy for quite a while, and I think the results are apparent.
All right, Van. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Have a good day. All right, we'll see you later. One line open at 303-713-7600. Do we name call? Was Harry Belafonte over the top in his statements about George W. Bush, calling him a tyrant and a terrorist? And does that get the job done in the square of public debate? And the in the environment of comparing ideas. We'll take more of your calls. Hanging on, Pat in Broomfield, Jack in Arvada, and Robin on I-70. Hang on. We'll get to your calls coming up. It's rolling up to 7:30 here on AM 760. Let's take a look at progressive traffic.
We are seeing a few problems for the drive. Have a crash working south on I-25 right around Thornton Parkway. It's off to the shoulder, but causing some curiosity, slowing and adding to your delays from 104th all the way down to the turnpike. Then we're slow between I-70 and Spear, and starting to bunch up through downtown and T-Rex. Now, had this car that hit a pole on the ramp from Arapahoe onto southbound I-25. That's been cleared out of your way, so some good news with that. 225 bunched up from Parker Road into the Tech Center, and don't forget, stuck show time, which means busy ride in both directions, I-70 between I-25 and Colorado Boulevard. Now around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 83, and we're looking at brake lights eastbound on the Turnpike from Federal over to Pecos. On to the forecast, going to be cooler today. Highs in the 40s, we're at 32 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
In case you haven't already heard, Waterside Living is coming to Aurora next summer with a spectacular lake house, streams, ponds, and parks.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? It's time to get out of debt and get on with your life. Call for Care One services at 1-800-550-3312. Are you behind in paying medical bills or personal loans? Been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Call Care One services for a consultation and debt analysis at 1-800-550-3312. In just one call, you can find out how quickly your debt can be paid in full. People who call for Care One services save an average of 30% in payments every month. Some can save up to 57%. So if you're over your head in credit card bills, call now and receive a consultation and debt analysis. Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-550-3312. That's 1-800-550-3312.
They make food at 10 Star with passion. Like the habit-forming blue cheese bacon burger taco. A cooked-to-order burger topped with bacon, crumble blue cheese, chipotle sauce, lettuce, and hand-battered fried onion strings, all placed into flour tortillas. 10 Star's menu certainly has a Southwestern orientation, but incorporates flavors from Texas and beyond. Drop by 10 Star in the Tech Center and join them for lunch, dinner, or for a cold beer or margarita and some spicy queso. Click on the banner in the player for directions. 10 Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids is something priceless. Time. A message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060. That's 312-795-9060.
Laser surgery that's safe, and here's the big thing, it's affordable. So if you've ever thought about getting LASIK done but weren't sure where to start, then talk to the folks at Icon. We sent a good friend of ours to Icon, and they did a great job. They can help you make an informed decision to find out if LASIK surgery is right for you. Visit them on the web at icondenver.com or call to set up a consultation today at 720-524-1001. The number again, 720-524-1001.
What's your goal for making money this year? Tired of making somebody else rich? Ready to finally start your own business, become your own boss, and make what you're really worth? If so, Y2 Marketing is seeking five successful entrepreneurial people who want to start their own business and fill the huge demand for their marketing consulting services. To find out more, register for an upcoming seminar where you'll learn how to make money by helping businesses get more results from their marketing and advertising efforts. To register, call 1-800-NEW-GOAL or go online to 800newgoal.com. That number again, 1-800-NEW-GOAL or 800newgoal.com.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
Dickin' it to righties everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning.
The greatest tyrant in the world, the greatest terrorist in the world. George W. Bush says, we're here to tell you, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of the American people, millions, support your revolution, support your ideas, and we are expressing our solidarity with you.
Yeah, I don't know if hundreds of thousands of Americans support the Socialist Revolution of Hugo Chavez. 7:34, 26 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. But was Harry Belafonte too over the top? And is name-calling a good idea specifically for liberals and progressives? And we do have some people on AM 760, Progressive Talk, who do engage in that kind of behavior. You know what? I try not to because I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. And you're talking to the person who injected the word brainstem into talk radio lexicon back like 6 or 7 years ago. All right, let's go to the phones, and let's go to Mike in Arvada. Mike, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you this morning?
I'm hanging in here, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing just terrific. Jay, I would like to respectfully disagree with some of my progressive friends. I certainly agree with what Harry Belafonte said regarding the president. I don't know about thousands and millions that are in support of a revolution. However, I have to take a look at the context in which he was saying it, because it wasn't just him speaking. He was representing UNICEF as the official spokesperson for them. So I have to look at, is UNICEF saying this? This organization has been around for many, many years. And as their official spokesperson, I think his rhetoric could have been a little bit different. Your example of John Kerry speaking with in a debate saying, where were you? That's not name-calling.
No, I know it's not.
That certainly is getting the point across. And I believe that when anyone is speaking in an official capacity, then they need to know what the organization's feelings, thoughts, what their direction is. Now, does he have a right to say it? Certainly. Do I feel that Bush is a terrorist? Well, that term has been widely overused. I have been flying my flag on my house, at the top of the house, upside down now for over 4 months. Some people have said that I am being disrespectful to the flag, and that is not true. An upside down flag is a international symbol of distress. I feel that our country is in distress. I certainly am not going to badmouth and use terminology that would degrade our country, but I think we can express ourselves in a lot of situations much more clearly with direct, straightforward comments such as you propose that Kerry should have done, and I agree with what Kerry should have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're better off if instead of tossing around labels or tossing around derogatory names, if we deal in the facts, but deal in the facts forcefully so you don't let anybody get off the hook, which is, you know, one of my main gripes with the media. And I've expressed this a lot, and we have Jameson Fosier and, you know, and others on, Paul Waldman for Media Matters for America, and they document this all the time
about
how these guys, you know, how they don't follow up, how they repeat these myths, and that people ought to stand up who are on these shows and go, wait a minute, do you know something? That's not true, and here's the real truth of the situation. But, you know, I think you lose ground if you turn around and say, well, obviously the President of the United States is a fascist pig and is part of the Bush crime family and blah, blah, blah. Because you know what? Then you come off as, I mean, you don't get your point across.
I don't want to lower myself to their standards. Now, I agree. What they do extremely well, and they are very rehearsed at it, and they have been doing it for a long, long time. I don't believe that taking the same tact necessarily gains us the respect and the clarity that we are trying to put forth.
Yeah, let's get our agenda and our ideas through. Hey, Mike, thank you, man. Hope you have a good day.
You too.
Okay, that opened up one line at 303-713-7600. Let's go to Pat in Broomfield. Pat, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how are you?
Jay, what's going on with you?
What do you mean?
You're not feeling good. This is getting weird.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'll tell you something, and I really am going to go to the program director today, and I'm going to say, you know something, if I can't clean this up, I got to have a day off tomorrow, because I'm sitting in here, well, you can hear me the way I sound, and I'm sitting in here with a temperature.
No, this isn't good. And, Jay, I got to tell you, you always have a temperature. You're running a fever.
Yeah, I know it.
I know, but you always have a temperature.
No, you're right. I should have rephrased that. I'm sitting in here running a fever.
Anyway, here's where I am. I say three cheers for Harry. Perhaps the UNICEF, him being a representative of UNICEF, was probably not the perfect position for him to be in when he made the statement, but I have to tell you, I do agree with him. And three cheers for Aunt Carolyn. He is a pig with little... the man is a miserable human being. You know how I feel about George Bush.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better to say, like, let's take this whole NSA spying situation. You know, Bob Herbert has got a great column in the New York Times, the op-ed page today. I don't know if you can access it online. You may have to be a member of the New York Times to get it. But he makes a really great point about how the Bush administration is caught in the Nixon syndrome of wiretapping and the president feeling, you know, George W. Bush feeling he's above the law. Instead of calling him like a fascist or calling him, a dictator or whatever derogatory term you want to attach to it, wouldn't it be better to say, this is a man who obviously does not understand the law, thinks he's above the law, doesn't get the Constitution, doesn't have any idea about checks and balances, and here are the reasons why what he has done is wrong. From the NSA spying to rendition to holding people in Guantanamo with guys like Jose Padilla without a fair and speedy trial, and here are the reasons these things are wrong, and knock down these Republican myths about security and the war on terror. Isn't that more effective than saying, oh, he's a member of the crime family, he's a fascist?
I agree with you, and I just have one caveat. If we're going to fight this fight, which we better darn well be ready to do, we have to fight the way the game is, the way the fight has been laid out. Yes. We don't have to resort to gutter politics, but on the other hand, we need to be ready to fight the way the Republicans are fighting. We need to get out of our ethereal little too good for everybody. We're the nice guys. We've got to get out of that.
Well, I don't think we should pass ourselves off as being ethereal. I don't think we should pass ourselves off as being the nice guy. I mean, one of the problems I have with NPR is they're so low key and they're so. Let's have passion. Let's have debate. Let's go to the to the right wing and let's stick the issues to them
and
say, here's where you're lying. Here's where you're not following through, without having to turn around and say, well, Sam Alito is a pig.
I agree, Jay. But by the same token, I think you and I can meet in the middle. I think we have to reach a point where we're ready to call a spade a spade. George Bush is a liar.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you can sit there and you can run down a whole laundry list of things that this guy has talked about, which have turned out not to be true.
And Sam Alito is frightening. just went lightning.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Pat? I'm with you on that. Hey, thank you, Pat. Hope you call again.
Feel better, Jay.
Okay.
Bye.
I'm trying. All right, let's go to Jack in Arvada. Jack, you're on AM 760. Go ahead. Oops, hold on a second, Jack. I got the wrong dealer. Now let me try it. Jack, you're on. Go.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah. What word would you use, Jay, for calling a man who invades preemptively a country, which results in causes an invasion, which results in the death of hundreds of thousands of innocent people?
A liar. Basically a liar, a distorter of the facts, and somebody who doesn't understand the idea of a reasonable foreign policy and a degree of sovereignty. I think on what you're bringing up, Iraq, and the mismanagement of not only Iraq, but also the tomfoolery that got us into this ridiculous situation, I think you stand up and say, the guy's a liar, and here's why he's a liar, and here are the following things that went on, and here's where he didn't tell the truth, instead of saying, well, he's a mass murderer.
Yeah, but tell that to the people of Iraq who were innocently dying.
But we're not getting into a situation about the people of Iraq. What we're getting into is...
You don't think that dying by the hundreds of thousands is terrorism?
No, what we're getting into here is we're getting into a debate, an internal debate within the United States of America about the leadership that is in control of this country and the things that they have done that are incorrect and that are wrong,
good,
and the areas where they do not understand the law.
Thank you. I agree. And from what you just said, then you should invoke the word terrorism.
I don't agree with that.
Because that's exactly what's happening every day over in that country.
I don't think calling him a terrorist. I don't think calling him a terrorist gets you anywhere.
You think liar is enough of a word justify?
Yes, and then you support it with the facts. You call him a terrorist, you know what ends up happening? You're disqualified from the debate. That's what ends up happening.
If you knowingly bring about the death of another person, and I say you're a liar, do you think that covers all the bases?
No. If I bring the death of another person willingly, that makes me a murderer.
That's right.
Not a terrorist.
So you would use the word murderer, possibly.
No, what I would say is that the guy is a liar. What I would say is the guy doesn't understand international law nor has no regard for it. And I would challenge him on the facts, not just toss some label out at him. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I'm out of time. 740. Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you're, you know, like Jack and think that you score points in the arena of public debate by throwing out these terms about Bush terrorists. I don't think you do. And you know what? That's where we have to win. We have to win in the arena of public debate, because that's what it's all about in a great republic like the United States of America. 303-713-7600, two lines open here, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Well, we are seeing some trouble with the drive on the north end of town. South on I-25, have a crash off to the shoulder near Thornton Parkway, so that's going to add to your already heavy jams from 104th all the way down to the turnpike. Then we're slow again from I-70 to Spear and starting to bunch up as you make your way through downtown in T-Rex. Now, I have this car that hit a pole down the ramp from Arapahoe onto southbound I-25. Crews are clearing that out of your way. And don't forget, stock show time. So expect jamming in both directions of I-70 between I-25 and Colorado Boulevard. Now, around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93. Arapahoe, Broadway, and Baseline are loaded up, and the Turnpike running heavy eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. Now, on to the...
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-220-1320. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-220-1320. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-220-1320. 1-800-220-1320.
1320.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
My dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rate supply, restricted supply not available in all areas.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids isn't something he can buy. It's something priceless. Time. Studies show that kids with involved fathers are less likely to abuse drugs, commit crimes, get pregnant, get depressed, or fail academically. All it takes is time. A public service message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060 for free, helpful information. That's 312-795-9060.
You know what they said? They said, hey, this thing is in absolute tip-top condition. And that's what goes on at Rockies. I mean, they check every automobile out, and every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of power train protection. Go to RockiesAutos.com, see their business philosophy, and check out the inventory. You can also pre-qualify for a car loan, and then if you see something you like, bingo, you can go get it. Rockies Autos has been family-owned and operated since 1982, and there's great people working there to help you get the automobile that you want. Not just get you to buy anything, but really, we're talking about the automobile that you want. So go see my friends Tom and Marvin Alshear, Spanky out there, or Colby. Ask for them by name. They'll help you out. There's over 100 dedicated employees working at Rockies, and I thank Rockies for all the support in 05, not only of this radio station, but also of this program. And they've become more than just somebody I talk about on the radio. They become good friends. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76 and just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Hey, this is Tanya Roberts, and I want to know where you're going on your next romantic weekend getaway. Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of the celebration of Las Vegas's five-star resort, Soleil. Soleil wants you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic, showcase the strip resort in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Soleil Resorts. Las Vegas is calling. Come on, get down to Vegas for the time of your life. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number. Just call 877-47-VEGAS. Oh, and as an added bonus, if you call within the next 15 minutes, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Call 877-47-VEGAS. That's 877-47-VEGAS.
This is Randy Rhodes. I'm coming up this afternoon, and right now you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
No matter what the greatest tyrant in the world, the greatest terrorist in the world, George W. Bush says, we're here to tell you, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of the American people, millions, support your revolution, support your ideas, and we are expressing our solidarity with you.
All right, it was Harry Belafonte over the top in calling Bush a tyrant and a terrorist, and is name-calling like an acceptable thing in public debate is a good idea. 7:52, 8 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. High today, 39 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. 303-713-7600. Coming up after 8 o'clock, Danny Schechter, the news dissector. He's a former CNN ABC producer, now blogging for MediaChannel.org, and it's another one of our numerous discussions here about the media in which we're all so affected by about their misrepresentations and their laziness. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to Ron in Loveland. Ron, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Hey, I'm sorry you're not feeling better.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
Hey, well, anyway, I just wanted to say I agree with you because I had a kind of a paradigm shift on this subject when I was listening to your substitute a couple weeks ago, that Carl Jeffers.
Right.
He really made a big point about this, about staying focused on the issues and not on the name calling, and how you're going to make more persuasive argument by doing so. And it was really kind of almost a little bit of a life-changing event to really hear such a persuasive argument made for that. I listen to a lot of you guys, and I listen to people on the right, and I was sometimes just to get my blood pressure going, and I was listening to Tony Snow the other day, and he called Jimmy Carter a name. I won't even bother telling you what it was, but
what was it?
Well,
are you scared? Are you scared you can't say it on radio?
No, no, it was just really insulting, and to be honest with you, I'm not even sure I remember it exactly, so I won't say it. But it was enough to where I just walked over to the radio and turned it off.
Well, see, that's a perfect point. Jimmy Carter, no matter how you feel about his presidency, Jimmy Carter is a well-thought-out, soft-spoken kind of guy who makes great points, and if you read his current book that's out, the thing is really worth reading, and that's why it's been on the New York Times bestseller list now for I don't know how many weeks. And when you call him a name, what you really do to the larger majority of the populace is you disqualify yourself from the debate. Instead of saying, okay, here's where Jimmy Carter's wrong, and here's where he makes these assumptions about God and about the religious right and about American foreign policy, and here is the reason why he is wrong. That's a better approach.
That's right, and the same applies to us, I believe. So I agree with you.
All right, Ron. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jake.
Bye. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike. Mike, which one? There's two Michaels on here. Oh, let's go to Michael, who's been hanging on in Denver. Mike, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Shalom to you, buddy. How
yeah,
are
shalom
you?
To you, too. Do you prefer being called Michael or Mike?
You know, Mike's the only four-letter word I'll answer to since you're talking about name calling.
That's pretty good. Touché, man.
I was sitting here listening to you, and when you played, I'm glad you played the clip of Harry Belafonte, because then, so we could kind of hear the context of what he was saying it in. Now, I think there's a difference between name calling and adjectives. I think sometimes that we get into a name calling because of the emotion that's behind it. But Bush and his administration have defined the word terrorism, and they've defined the word terrorist. And if you take a look at the way they defined it by the definition that they apply to Saddam and to Osama, and then you take a look at their actions, by their very own definition, they are terrorists. And you may not want to hear the word, but you have to, because the Republicans are not playing a fair fight. And you take a look at what Gore did, you take a look at what in this last election, the Republicans name called left and right. And you saw the high road that the Democrats tried to take, and they lost. It was a losing battle.
I don't think it's a matter that they tried to take the high road. I think it's a matter of the fact that they weren't tough enough, that they didn't stare the administration down, and that they didn't shove the facts at them, and that they didn't properly challenge them. I think there's a big difference between that and just dismissing George W. Bush as being a tyrant.
Well, and you know what, and you're right, but here's the interesting part about that is that his actions are those of a tyrant. You take a look at with these wiretaps, the whole situation with the wiretaps, they were actions of a tyrant. He didn't even care about the law at that point. And you take a look at what he's done to, in Iraq, attacking Iraq when Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, clearly from the old 9/11 commission. So you look at his actions, and they're it's not a matter of name calling. They are adjectives, and it's the truth. You have Kofi Annan, who has already said that Bush has already illegally committed this war.
All right, I'm beginning to run out of time, and I understand what you're saying, but let me just leave you with this last proposition.
Okay.
A tyrant or a dictator operates in a society where there is no vote. We operate in a society where there is a vote, and there were a lot of issues.
It's truth or it's a lie. It's morally right or it's morally wrong.
Jolt on AM 760.
Who's responsible?
Boulder's Progressive Talk. Men, this message is brought to you by the Essential Group. Are you making it all hours? It can be frustrating, especially if it happens frequently. This can be a sign of a condition called BPH or enlarged prostate. If you're experiencing this symptom, you're not alone. Many men experience this bothersome issue. BPH is a real medical diagnosis that can typically be treated. Currently, physicians are conducting a BPH research study specifically for men over 50, and you may qualify. Just call toll-free 1-866-77-STUDY for more information. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care, including doctor visits, laboratory services, and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
AM 760, Progressive Talk and CBS News. Local, national, and news from around the world.
AM 760.
Now, CBS News.
KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani.
Give this man a fair hearing and an up or down vote on the Senate floor.
President Bush, after breakfast at the White House with Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito, in 2 hours, Alito will face the Senate Judiciary Committee. CBS's Barry Bagnato tells us what to expect.
Abortion and presidential powers, touchstone issues Alito must confront. The nominee's Reagan administration writings on overturning Roe v. Wade concern Crystal Lander of the feminist majority.
You don't put together a plan for something you don't believe in.
Former Alito law clerks are lieutenants in the battle to confirm him, making nationwide appearances in ads such as this.
He's a fair judge.
Judge Alito is a man of honor, integrity, principle.
Barring a major surprise, confirmation is expected. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President Cheney's out of the hospital after getting emergency treatment for trouble with his breathing. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House.
Doctors blamed his shortness of breath on a reaction to a medication he was taking for a foot problem. He was given a diuretic in response to an accumulation of fluids. He spent about 4 hours at the hospital, where doctors also checked for any heart issues following the 4 heart attacks he has suffered over the years, but they found no reason for concern.
Israel's Prime Minister Sharon's breathing on his own and reportedly moved his right hand after doctors began easing him out of a medically induced coma. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem says the next few days could tell doctors about the extent of damage from Sharon's stroke.
Doctors will massage and pinch Sharon's skin and vigorously rub his chest as they try to determine the extent of brain damage. They will also ask him to perform simple tasks like blinking, moving his arms and legs, and talking. Medical experts say Sharon probably suffered some brain damage and paralysis.
And doctors treating Randall McCloy say the only coal miner to survive last week's West Virginia mine disaster is off sedation now and responding to stimuli, but he's developed a slight fever. McCloy is still on the critical list. It's all clear at the Justice Department after an evacuation caused by a suspicious package discovered on a bus nearby. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis has that.
The Justice Department is an armed fortress on a regular day, but the package triggered a full bomb squad response. After an examination by law enforcement authorities, the package has been discovered to be harmless, and Justice Department employees are now going back to work.
A lot of Amazon.com customers got a lump of coal when they ordered holiday gifts from a third-party seller called My Great Choice. Lance Dean in Chunky, Mississippi, says his order never came. Now he's out the money.
I would shop at Amazon again. Kind of nervous now about ordering from a third-party seller is the only thing.
Now, the Seattle Times says Amazon.com is trying to get its customers some refunds. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead about 2.5 points, but the NASDAQ Composite is a little bit more than a point lower. This is CBS News.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
Well, the good news is crews have cleared a crash stop on I-25 at Thornton Parkway. Still seeing a pretty busy ride from 104th right into downtown and through T-Rack. Now, I-70 loaded up with lots of people heading over to the stock show. Busy in both directions between Colorado and I-25 and westbounders. On I-70, expect some slowing as you approach Havana. We have a couple cars off to the shoulder causing some curiosity slowing. Now, southbound 225, looking at brake lights from Parker Road into the Tech Center and around town. Things still busy on Foothills Parkway and the diagonal. Highway 93 is loaded up between Boulder and Golden and the Turnpike. A little sluggish eastbound from Federal to Pecos. Under the forecast, going to be cooler today. Highs in the 40s. We're at 32 degrees right now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Introducing Test Drive Tuesday from the Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Get a $40 voucher for gas when you take a test drive on Tuesday.
GAP provides developmentally disabled adults the help and resources to lead a fulfilling life and make a meaningful contribution to the community. GAP needs your help with funding for various equipment, vans, and daily activities. Please call to make a donation, 303-989-9830.
Present full grid-on hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion, Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m. Weight loss at 8 p.m. Call 800-735-6907 to reserve your space. Sessions are affordable at $59.95. Experts agree hypnotherapy is the best choice for permanent results. John Morgan Seminars have helped over 100,000 people. Call 800-735-6907.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 804, 4 minutes after 8 a.m. 760, Progressive Talk. High today, 39. Under mostly cloudy skies. Before we get on to Danny Schechter, the news dissector, former CNN ABC producer, now blogging at mediachannel.org. I was going to take a little peek at my email. You know what? I never said last hour that Harry Belafonte didn't have a right to say what he wanted to say. I'm a strong advocate of the First Amendment, but you know what? I just wanted to invoke a discussion about whether what he did was correct or not and whether it furthers the debate. I never wanted to step on his First Amendment rights, so get that straight, okay? All right, let's go to Danny Schechter, the news dissector. Danny, good morning, and welcome to AM 760.
I missed your question if there was one when you clicked on over here.
No, there was no question. It was just an introduction.
Great. Well, I'd just like to say Deo, okay, just to keep things on the right path here. I'm happy to be on with you. And, you know, one of the things we do at Media Channel is monitor media coverage. One of the areas that I've been focusing on is the war in Iraq and how it's been covered and miscovered from the very beginning, how the media, in a sense, has been complicit in the war. That's what my new book, When News Lies, is about. And I also have another book called The Death of the Media, which is about how we can try to change our media system. So that's what I'm up to.
All right, give us a few examples about how the media missed the coverage or missed the beat when it comes to the war in Iraq.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, they bought and drank the Kool-Aid totally. The government claims, the WMDs, the link between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, all disproven, all challenged at the time by many critics, but never reported. So the American people believed, in as many as 40%, that there were Iraqis that bombed, that were on the planes that attacked the World Trade Center, that Iraq was somehow responsible for 9/11, and therefore the war was justified. In other words, the media did a lot more cheerleading for this conflict than they did reporting, more selling than telling. And what that meant was that we had a large consensus of support for the war based on a misunderstanding of what was really involved, what the strategy of the U.S. government was, why we were doing this, and even to this day, that issue is still being debated. My argument is that the initial run-up to the war coverage, which has been demonstrated and proven to be false, we've had mea culpas in the Washington Post, the New York Times, Judith Miller resigning, and the like, is only one part of the problem. The coverage of the war itself has minimized and understated civilian casualties, the damage done to that country. It's glossed over tremendous corruption by American interests and tremendous incompetence by government officials. Just yesterday, Jerry Bremer, the former administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority, told the Brian Williams at NBC News, gee, insurgency? We never expected it. We never thought anything like that was happening. So, you know, you have a kind of total misunderstanding of what happens when you invade a country. People tend to resist that. They tend to fight back, even when you don't want them to. And, you know, this was something that the head of the U.S. mission there admits now that they didn't even think was possible.
Yeah, I never saw that. I didn't see the NBC show yesterday, but why? But from the clips that I got out of it, wasn't Bremer trying also to dismiss the fact that he and the Provisional Coalition Authority just screwed things up?
Well, of course he was. It's a... his book, it's a whole self-justifying exercise. Of course, he gets on NBC primetime. The people who were critics of the war, critics of Bremer, people who actually, I was just at a conference out in Dubai, Arab and World Media Conference, many prominent American journalists were there. And, you know, I spoke with a journalist from Iraq who was a real supporter of the U.S. Invasion, who basically told me he thinks Jerry Bremer should be in jail. That's how bad he screwed things up and how stupid he was in terms of censoring news there and basically allowing all kinds of special interests, jalabi and the like, to profit off the war. In other words, the other side of this story, what I would call the truth of it, is being missed. And, you know, the deeper issue is, should our media play the role of a sort of megaphone for the government, or should it play the role as a fourth estate, a critic, speaking truth to power, examining government policy, challenging it when it's wrong, and explaining it perhaps when it's right? That's what's missing here, is that the media has moved into this concentrated arena in American life where only seven big companies are dominating our media, and they're more in bed with the government than they are serving the public interest. That's why I wrote this book, When News Lies, to try to make this case and also to try to argue that if there were war crimes in Iraq, there were also media crimes, crimes of deception, misinformation, and the like that needs to be scrutinized.
Well, you know, to me, and I want to see if you agree or disagree with me on this, to me, Judy Miller, particularly in the New York Times, did irreparable damage to the Times, no matter how much they try to get out from underneath it. Then they follow up with this whole revelation that they had held on to a year to the James Risner story before letting it run about about the whole NSA wiretapping situation. I mean, to me, and I'm... you know, I love the op-ed page of the New York Times. I mean, I love Bob Herbert. I love Frank Rich. I love reading them. I love Maureen Dowd. And the list can just, Paul Krugman, the list can just go on and on. But as far as reading the news from the New York Times, I feel like they've been irreparably damaged. I don't know how they fix or right the situation.
Well, you know, it's not just the New York Times. You know, a Pew survey of public opinion, well, back found that 70% of the American people are dissatisfied with the media for different reasons. They don't trust the media. 70% of the people working in media are also skeptical and also don't trust the media. There's a crisis of confidence here, and it has to do with how our media has been transformed, you know, from the news biz to show biz, has to be a part of a show biz. And, you know, we've seen story after story, whenever it gets really hot or controversial, either getting deflected or suppressed or lack of attention paid to those stories. Today on Media Channel, I write about Ariel Sharon, his history, his background, why he's so hated in much of the Arab world, what role he's played in Israel. There's been very little of that, you know, in our news. So what I'm saying is what we're missing is context, background, and a way to connect the dots to understand what we're seeing. That's why our media is more important than ever, at the same time more irresponsible than ever. And that's why we need to make media an issue. If we care about changing anything in America, we have to deal with the media as well. As a newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin has said, you know, if we had a better media, we'd have a better president. People would be better informed, presumably, and they would vote their knowledge rather than their fears. And this is something which I think media can be held responsible for. And I'm saying this not as somebody who's just a media basher sitting in a basement somewhere, you know, kind of ventilating. I'm saying this as somebody who worked inside ABC News for 8 years, who was part of the startup team at CNN, who worked in commercial radio for 10 years, who knows a little bit about how media works. And now as an independent producer, I made a film called WMD, Weapons of Mass Deception. That film won the top award at the Denver International Film Festival, which suggested to me that folks in Denver, specifically are very concerned about this issue. And they were very supportive to my film. I think not because it was my film, but because the issue resonates with them. That this issue of media is a really central issue, although it's not something that politicians address very much, and it's not something that partisans address. In other words, we would much rather bash Republicans in many instances than look at the role the corporations are playing and the media companies are playing. It's much easier to have Tom DeLay as a kind of cartoon-like enemy than to recognize how we're being misinformed and misled every single day.
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree with that 100%. I mean, I don't know if it's because of laziness or poor fact checking or I don't know what it is, but you know the major newspapers in this country and also the cable TV news networks they're right up there. I mean, they misstate facts and leave critical things out on a daily basis. I mean, there's example after example of them doing this.
Well, you know, I think, they would say, well, look, we're flawed. We only have so many resources. We've been cut back. Circulation is down. Resources are down. The media system is very uncertain, volatile, and insecure. You know, why do you knock us, when we're just telling you what's really going on? You know, they're also in a bubble to some degree. And it's unhappy. I mean, there are some good reporters. This woman, Diane Carman, I've read, and I guess in the Denver Post, I've read some really good stuff. I've read other intelligent stuff in the Rocky Mountain News. But, we have to become critical viewers and critical thinkers rather than just bashing the media. We have to look, on a case-by-case basis and make an evaluation. I mean, you made a statement earlier today about Harry Belafonte. I didn't hear it, okay? Somebody must have called it and taken you to task on it. Okay, that's good. There's a dialogue going on there. There's some sort of discourse. People feel the station belongs to them. They can have their say. And that's what we need in our media, interaction between the consumer and the media maker. We need to have that kind of accountability. And what that's missing in most of the networks. You can't get anybody to respond to your concerns.
No, you're right.
You are responding, and I think that's a sign of a belief that in a sort of sense of democracy, that we need to have a debate, that various ideas are welcome and we're open to them, even if we disagree with them.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I've written letter after letter to CNN about stuff, and you never get an answer. 8:15, 15 minutes after 8, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Danny Schechter, the news dissector, former CNN and ABC producer, now blogging at MediaChannel.org. All right, so you were at the startup of CNN. I got to ask you this. You know, you can't go to Fox, because we all know what Fox is. And basically, it's a propaganda channel for the GOP. MSNBC is kind of neither fish nor fowl. I don't know what they're trying to do there.
I don't think they do either, frankly.
Yeah, they don't have their act together there. I mean, the only thing they're worth watching is Oberman. And you go to CNN, which most of us choose out of default because there is nothing else. What the hell's wrong with CNN? Why are they, where do they, for instance, their latest thing is reportedly they're going to hire Bill Bennett.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, where is that coming from there?
Well, they need, quote, a House conservative. That's how they perceive themselves. You know, their notion of balance is a very sort of beltway phenomena, Have a Republican and have a Democrat. Usually have a conservative Republican and a conservative Democrat. This goes back to the formation of Crossfire.
Exactly.
On CNN, where, you had the range of viewpoint, according to Jeff Cohn at the time, head of FAIR, was from A to B. In other words, as if the political spectrum is like that, where everything was very kind of narrow, framed narrowly and limited in its outreach, and very rarely do they go outside of that for other voices. Oddly enough, I've been on Fox more than on CNN, speaking about my book, speaking about my issues and my film, because they like a good controversy. They like to fight. CNN is much more massaging things in the consensus of the conventional wisdom, and which is a shame. And Ted Turner, when I first went to CNN, June 1980, okay, outside the office of CNN, the UN flag was flying over CNN at that time as a sign of his interest in trying to bring global news to the American people. And recently, Ted Turner himself wrote an article, Why We Can't Trust a Big Media. He himself, through the experience of this, and I'm not a big not a total, you know, I don't know, he's not my idol. You know, he himself went through this big transition. I don't know if you know this, in 1976, I believe it was, when he bought the Superstation in Atlanta, Channel 17.
Yeah, TBS.
Before it became TBS, you know, his idea of news, he hated news so much that he had a German Shepherd dog as his news anchor. Okay, sitting behind the anchor. That was the statement that he was making. Well, he went through this whole process of creating CNN, and no sooner did he create CNN than the news guys that he hired basically, you know, made him swear not to get involved, not to interfere with the professionals. So the news product was often very bland. It was like local news on a national basis. Now it's evolved a lot more. It's a big company. It makes a ton of money. It's Time Warner and the like. But I think the quality of the coverage, and I was at a party, CNN's 25th anniversary party, I was invited to, believe it or not, and welcomed, and saw old colleagues, and all you heard was grumbling. You know, not enough money to do this, cutbacks on that, you know, making, you know, why Anderson Cooper was promoted, you know, and Brown was this. Why? I mean, because of some sort of immediate reaction, you know, he was looking good, so they put him in that position. It's not, there's no serious commitment there, necessarily,
yeah,
to news and information.
Yeah, Cooper and Paul Lauzon are both vacuous.
Right. Which, you know, although there are some good, you know, my old buddy Jeff Greenfield is very intelligent. Howie Kurtz did a good program on Sunday.
All right, Danny, hang on a second, because I want to keep you for a second segment, if that's okay. Can you
sure.
stick around?
Yeah.
All right, Danny Schechter, the news dissector from, he's a former CNN and ABC producer, now blogging at MediaChannel.org.
A deadly infectious disease called meningococcal meningitis killed my daughter. Parents in Denver need to know it may be prevented through vaccination. My child did not have to die. Ask your doctor about immunization.
A message from the National Meningitis Association.
Are you worried about your cholesterol or blood pressure? What about your joints? With all the news lately, what should you do? Well, have you considered omega-3 fish oil? Millions already have because it's safe, natural, and it really works. Fish oil is proven to support healthy triglycerides and blood pressure. And now new research reveals powerful benefits for joints, wrinkled skin, even focus and concentration. If this sounds like you, we can help. We want to rush you a free bottle of Purity's Advanced Omega-3. Simply call 1-800-771-7544 and ask for your free bottle. We know that once you experience our Omega-3, you'll become a loyal fish oil customer. With 3 times the power of ordinary fish oil capsules, our Omega-3 delivers better and faster results. It's doctor-recommended, purified, and mercury-free. So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-771-7544 for your free bottle and experience the miracle of fish oil. That's 1-800-771-7544.
In some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming down to the stores and doing business with us. We've got 5 stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood. You name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices, we match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable, and on top of that, folks, just plain right. 303-771-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, You help America.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 823, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. High today, 39 under mostly cloudy skies. Jay Marvin here on AM 760. Progressive Talk coming up after 8:30, an interview we did this morning, in case you missed it, at 6:20, with Ralph Neese, head of people for the American Way. Right now we got Danny Schechter on the line. He's the news dissector from CNN ABC. He's a former CNN ABC producer, now blogging for MediaChannel.org. All right. Do you know the real reason that Aaron Brown was let go from CNN, Danny?
Well, I think it has to do with demographics. They're concerned about how do they get some more excitement into CNN to remain competitive. Anderson Cooper got a lot of good press during the Katrina crisis, and so he suddenly, his star rose, and they had no place to put him in the primetime environment, and out went Aaron, as far as I know. I don't have anything more on that, other than many people felt that, he was treated really disgracefully, Suddenly, he had been their big star one moment. He was a hero, then he became a zero, and that's how the media, is. We love you, we love you, we love you. Who are you? You've heard that yourself, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, many times. Many times I've run across that. But, if I put you in charge, what would you do with CNN? And the reason I focus in on CNN is because, as I indicated earlier in my comments, as far as cable TV news networks go, I find Fox to be repulsive, and I'm not sure what MSNBC is trying to achieve. So, therefore, by default, you go to CNN. What would you change about CNN?
Well, I have the whole Schechter plan for the future of CNN, which I would be happy to share with Jonathan Klein, their president. He knows my number. He can call me. But I actually have some ideas about that. But, one of the things I want to note is that, CNN has an international channel, CNN International.
Right.
You travel elsewhere in the world. You're watching a very different CNN than the one we see here. It's much more diverse in terms of its correspondent base. Its news reporting is far more far-reaching. There's more news, more analysis from the whole world. And it's competitive with the BBC. In fact, that's who it competes with. Now, why aren't we able to see CNN International? In America, we see C-SPAN 1, we see C-SPAN 2, we see C-SPAN 3. Why not CNN International? Now, on my cable channel, the digital channels, you can see CNN International, but most Americans can't see it. And, as a consequence, we're getting less and less news, about the rest of the world. It's like a story from Iraq, it's a story from Washington, and 20 minutes of Terry Chavo. That's not news.
Or plane crashes or buildings being on fire.
And that's whatever's the latest thing that happens is supposed to be the most important. It usually isn't. And this is one of the problems. It's the dumbing down process of the American public. And then the news executives all say, this is what the people want. And what we're seeing now is that the ratings of the network newscasts are way down. We see the circulation of most newspapers way down, which is a sign that the people don't want it. They don't want what they're being offered. Half the kids in the country are watching the Comedy Channel, Daily Show, et cetera, and so forth. We have a big crisis in our media. This is what I write about in this book, The Death of the Media. I try to look at how over the years there have been all these manifestos and calls for reform of the media and what all these thinkers and people were saying over time about what we can do about the media, how we can make this issue resonate, because this is an issue that crosses across party lines. When there was a campaign to stop the FCC from giving away the airwaves to big media companies and letting them have own more stations, 3 million Americans opposed it. It was the issue with the biggest traction going. Half of them came from the right. Half of them came from the more progressive part of the a political spectrum. So you had Michael Moore and the National Rifle Association on the same side here. And in fact, it was a lawsuit that finally stopped the FCC. Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell, he left. you know, former FCC commissioner from doing the bidding of the big media companies. And so this shows me, anyway, that there is a big constituency for media change. Every parent should be demanding media literacy education in their schools so the kids can become more critical consumers of news and information. And that's part of what's missing as well. So the challenge here is to, A, get this issue on the agenda, B, build a constituency around it which can actually represent the American people's concerns about the media, and then take action, try to do something about it. That's why we started Media Channel. We started it in 2000. We had 20 groups associated with it. Now we have 1,000 groups associated with it. Walter Cronkite is the lead advisor. MediaChannel.org, it's a not-for-profit. You know, while the media watches the world, we watch the media. And that's the idea of it. And we're getting a growing number of people coming to it and reading, because they realize that media, how media plays politics is central. If the Swift Boat veterans can manage to tie up our political campaign for 2 weeks with the Kerry people totally on the defensive and being attacked later, the charges are disproven, but the damage has been done. And the media lets them get away with it because they're not playing an independent role. They're not doing the job they should be doing. So politics, our media is our politics in America. We wouldn't have elections if it wasn't for television. You know, most politicians spend most of their time raising money to buy commercials. So media is central to our whole political system. We have to recognize that and do something about it if we can. And, you know, Air America Radio, your station, it's an effort to try to kind of level the playing field, try to have a little more balance in the media, where the right wing has been dominant for so many years, controlling not only the big networks, but talk radio. And now what we're seeing is that there are a lot of other people with something to say, and they want to be heard, too. And we need to create, you know, channels and choices for them as well. And that's why I'm happy to be on with you this morning, because I think people in Denver should appreciate what a struggle it is to create a station like yours and to get it out there and support that station, because that is open to ideas in ways that other stations aren't.
All right. I really appreciate
it. I'm sorry to be doing all this pitching for you. This is an unpaid promotional announcement, believe me. You know.
I wish I just had like more time. Where do people where can they see your movie and where can we read your stuff?
Okay, mediachannel.org. It's the News Dissector blog. It's online. You can sign up to it for free, and our other newsletters and blogs. Secondly, my books, The Death of the Media and When News Lies, they're in bookstores, they're on Amazon, and you can order them from us at mediachannel.org. You can join mediachannel.org to support our work to try to promote more democratic media in America, to get involved on this issue. And that's really what I'm crusading on. My movie, WMD, is in the book, When News Lies. It's also available, WMDthefilm.com. Tim Robbins did the trailer for it. Check it out. If you haven't seen it already, I was really happy. We got 7 screenings in Denver, and I'm hoping that people there will continue to use this film to raise awareness about the media and the war in Iraq.
All right. Hey, Danny, great, and we'll have you on again.
Stu, I'm here for you. Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Thanks. All right, there's Danny Schechter, the News Dissector, former CNN ABC producer, now blogging for MediaChannel.org, or go to NewsDissector.org. All right, coming up, Ralph Neves, People for the American Way, the Alito confirmation hearings kick off today, and we did this interview earlier, and we'll play it back, and then we'll call and open phones. 8:31, 29 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, progressive traffic now on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
But Helton says take...
Hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide, just 2 of the toxic gases in every puff of cigarette smoke. When in the presence of others, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Looking for books, tapes, magazines, t-shirts, and other people interested in creating a better society? You'll find that and more at Left Hand Books on the Pearl Street Mall. In addition to their vast selection of progressive media, you'll find a video lending library, civic organizations, and people who are working for justice. Register to win Fair Trade coffee and DVDs of Fahrenheit 911. No purchase necessary. Left Hand Books on the Pearl Street Mall. Store hours, upcoming events, and volunteer opportunities are online at lefthandbooks.org.
8:32, 28 minutes in front of 9 o'clock on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Rocky's Autos, I talk about them a lot because you know what? They're more than just a car dealership. They're my friends. And there's over 100 dedicated employees at Rocky's Autos to make sure that you get the kind of vehicle that you really want. And Mary and I have just had wonderful experiences there. And as I've been saying all morning long, I've been bragging about this car we bought there, which gets great gas mileage, by the way. Car we bought there, it was oil change time. So we figured, what the heck, we'd have them check out everything else. You know what? The car came, I mean, the people raved the condition of the automobile. And that's what makes Rockies different. They're just not a place that will sell you any kind of car. All those automobiles are checked out. And they're all equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Rockies Autos. Check them out on the internet at RockiesAutos.com. Their business philosophy is right there, and you can look at the inventory and pre-qualify for a car loan. You see something you want, then you go down there and you get it. Rockies has been family-owned and operated since 1982. Good people working out there like Spanky and the Alshire brothers, Tom and Marv and Colby. So ask for them. They're good friends of mine, and they'll treat you right. Rockies Autos is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rockies Autos located at the corner of 63rd and Federal. You can't miss them. They got this big sign up. It's the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76 and just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Well, we are dealing with a busy ride on the highways. I-70 loaded up with lots of people heading over to the stock show. So slow going both directions between Colorado and I-25. Southbound 225 running heavy from Parker Road right into the Tech Center. And if you're coming out of the Thornton area, southbound I-25 sluggish from 104th into downtown and through T-Rex. And around town, things still busy on Arapahoe, Broadway, and Bayside. Fiddles Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93 are loaded up in the Turnpike. Looking at brake lights eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. Checking out the forecast, going to be a little cooler today with highs in the 40s. We're at 34 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
PC Answers.
I'm with Spyware Anonymous, and we don't appreciate you going to people's homes and offices and cleaning out their computers. If you don't stop it, we'll come down.
Sorry, little bug. This is John Hogan with PC Answers. Don't let spyware and viruses drive you buggy. Let us exterminate them for you quickly and painlessly. Call PC Answers at 303-548-1414. That's PC Answers, 303-548-1414.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
You can now get up on the left side of the bed. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:36, 24 minutes in front of 9 o'clock. High today, 39 under mostly cloudy skies. AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. All right, we did this at 6:20 this morning during the low power hour, and if you missed this, I want to replay it again because this guy, Samuel Alito, is a scary, scary man. And you'll hear Ralph Neese from People for the American Way talk about this, about the fact that all of us have got to take the time, and you got to do this today, to send Ken Salazar and Wayne Allard an email telling them that you do not support the extreme views of Samuel Alito. Here's this. We did this earlier, starting at about 6:20 this morning. Here's Ralph Neese. He is the president and CEO of People for the American Way. By the way, did you see over the weekend on Sunday in a little article about Pat Robertson in the op-ed page section, the weekend review section, actually, of the New York Times, you guys got a little plug, as well as Barry Lynn and People for the Separation of Church and State as being two of the foremost organizations that fight the religious right in this country.
Jay, I did see it in a number of other articles. We had been monitoring, of course, the right for the last 25 years, and we discovered the tape of Pat Robertson saying this incredibly arrogant and insensitive remarks about Sharon.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought that was a great pluck. All right, let's talk about Alito here. And there's so much to go over, and there's so little time that we have together here in this segment of the program. And Alito has got problems in a lot of areas, troubling questions about him. Not only just the abortion issue, but so many other issues. For instance, this whole thing with Vanguard Insurance. Can you explain that about Vanguard?
Absolutely, Jay, and I think you made a very important point at the top. This is not about one issue. This is going to be a confrontation between two radically different interpretations of the Constitution, and unfortunately, Samuel Alito is in the mold of Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, not Sandra Day O'Connor, a mainstream conservative. But you mentioned the Vanguard issue. In addition to the judicial philosophy issues, Senator Kennedy and others have been developing, on the facts that they know, a credibility gap, because Samuel Alito, in a number of different ways, first with his promise in 1990 to recuse himself from any case that came before him that involved the Vanguard Mutual Fund or Smith Barney or his sister-in-law's law firm. And on several occasions, he broke his promise. Now, that's not necessarily illegal or against the code of ethics, but he told the promise under oath to the Senate that he wouldn't do so. And now there have been six different interpretations of why he did it. And he has a credibility problem on that. He's got a credibility problem on a range of issues.
You know, the other thing that's really, really in the public debate now is the NSA spying story. And then the idea that this presidency, that this president, in a very, very arrogant way, has decided that he's above the law and to enlarge his powers. And this whole thing may go before the Supreme Court. And Alito, in his writings and in his statements, has talked continuously about the powers of the president. He has supported the supremacy of the elected branches over the judiciary. That's got to be troubling.
Jay, you again have gone maybe right to the heart of what much of the debate is going to be about. There's certainly going to be questions on civil rights. For example, how come in all the divided cases, 85% of the time you decided against the civil rights plaintiff? There'll be discussions about the role of government and privacy. And privacy addresses a little of what you were talking about before, and this is maybe the most important issue for the American public. And Roe versus Wade, of course, is a privacy issue. And his condoning a strip search of a 10-year-old girl without a search warrant is certainly a privacy issue. But Americans are petrified, according to the polls, about illegal domestic wiretapping. Our homes, getting into our homes and listening to what we are saying without getting an appropriate search warrant. And what he did, Jay, and you referred to it, two decades ago, he said when executive branch officials break the law with respect to wiretapping, they should have absolute immunity. This is George III. This is not President Bush. No president can be given that kind of authority. We fought a revolutionary war about such things.
It's scary. It's scary.
Very scary.
It's scary. And do you think that the Democrats would definitely filibuster this nomination?
Our position, Jay, is, of course, that we oppose this nomination for many, many different reasons. We've asked senators, Republicans and Democrats alike, not to take a position until after the hearings are over, and at that time to assess what their positions will be and whether they should wage a filibuster. With every passing day, especially if he does not answer questions, if he tries to filibuster the senators, if he refuses to respond to questions about his record, about his views, which are very much part of a long legal paper trail, it's like Robert Bork in 1987. I could see a combination of circumstances would be totally justified to oppose such a person through a filibuster.
6:40, 20 minutes in front of 7 o'clock on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Ralph Mies with us, president and the CEO of People for the American Way. You know, even David Broder, who's not what I would consider to be a flaming left-winger, in a column over the weekend, he said that Alito has some explaining to do about his past decisions and about his past writings.
I was very surprised by the Broder column because David Broder, especially in recent years, has given the president such a pass on so many different issues and very rarely speaks critically of Supreme Court nominees. He was tough yesterday, and he basically said that Alito's got a steep hill to climb, and there's so much on the record regarding his views and how he could possibly turn back the clock, the constitutional clock, many decades. And I think also David Broder is very worried about checks and balances and not having separation of powers and having each branch making sure the other branch is not acting inconsistently with the Constitution.
But does he really have a steep hill to climb? I mean, does he really, when Democrats are in the minority, does he really, are we going to end up with this guy ultimately?
I think that if you'd asked me that question 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said that the odds greatly favor the confirmation of Samuel Alito. Right now, I think there's a good chance that not just Democrats, but some Republicans could oppose this nomination because it's such a dangerous nomination. And it's not Roberts' arch-conservative replacing William Rehnquist. It's an arch-conservative, dangerous conservative replacing the swing vote, Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a mainstream conservative and, quite frankly, especially in the last decade, was the fifth and decisive vote to protect privacy, to protect equal opportunity, clean air, clean water, religious liberty, and a host of other issues. This is going to be, I think, a big fight, and it should be. This is a healthy, vital democracy, and if the people and the senators feel that someone is going to undermine the Constitution and take away cherished rights and liberties and legal protections that we've all taken for granted for decades, then such a person should be opposed.
You really believe, though, that there are some moderate Republicans and maybe some libertarian-based Republicans who would oppose this guy based on his writings and based on the idea that he sides with the power of the executive branch and that he sides with the power of government at every turn of the mile? Do you really think there are some Republicans who would oppose his nomination?
I think there are some Republicans, and as you know, Jay, I was a Republican for a long time and chief counsel to two Republican senators, but there are not a lot of senators like Ed Brooke around anymore who are moderate, liberal Republicans. But some Republicans who care about the environment, some Republicans who care about choice and privacy, and a number of Republicans who care about presidential power and the lack of checks and balance. In all of our polling and focus groups, Jay, the one line that registers the highest is America works best when no one party has absolute power. The Bush people want absolute power.
I just am, I got to be really upfront with you. I'm just so scared that we can't stop this guy. I am so, and I'm scared of the damage that he would do based on his circuit court rulings and the insensitivity that he shows towards women, minorities, and really just everyday people.
He should frighten the vast majority of American people. He's Antonin Scalia without the bombast. He's not as menacing in his language as Thomas and Scalia, but I think it makes him more dangerous because he appears to come across as more moderate and not so radical. But Samuel Alito is as radical a nominee as we've had before the Supreme Court in maybe a half a century.
So you believe he is stoppable?
He is stoppable, but it will only be because your listeners and millions of others contact their senators and say, stop this horrible nomination. We delivered 1.1 million petitions to Arlen Specter and other senators last Thursday, but we need many millions more.
All right, Ralph Neves, President and CEO of People for the American Way, and you can check out their website, People for the American Way, at pfaw.org. Thanks so much for getting up early in the morning and being on the program. And I, you know what, my fingers are crossed, and I just only hope. And I know that the correct way to put this is to wait until the hearings. But, you know, based on this guy's background, I hope we can stop him. I really do.
Jay, we certainly haven't waited, as you know, until the hearings. But the senators are sitting, in some respects, as judges, and I can understand the strategy of waiting until all the evidence is in. But we've got to let the Senate hear from their constituents. That's the big difference.
All right, Ralph. Thanks, and have a good morning, and thank you, too, for all your work.
Oh, I appreciate it, Jay, and please stay in touch with us.
You got it. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
All right, and you know, when I read that Alito thing, when I read all this stuff about Alito, the first thing I thought was, well, and when I read that thing in the Week in Review yesterday in the New York Times, the first thing I thought was, well, I got to join people for the American way. I really do. All right, there's Ralph Nies, People for the American Way. And check into this guy Alito, because he's scary. And it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats can stop him. And one of the questions I asked earlier this morning was, do you think that the Democrats should, after the hearings, by the way, do you think the Democrats should filibuster this? I mean, should they go to war over this? Is it, you know, important enough? I believe that they should. And not be intimidated and threatened with this whole idea of the nuclear option, because what goes around comes around. 8:48, 48 minutes past the hour. Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk. We'll open up. Man.
Need something to complete your indoor game room? Then go to MileHighMarket.com and get a multi-game table with poker, blackjack, and bumper pool all in one. Or do you need prime seating to watch all of the upcoming sports action? Then check out the iJoy Robotic Massage Chair. If you're a workout buff, then the New Balance Recumbent Exercise Bike is for you. All this and more is available at MileHighMarket.com. Buy today and receive an extra 5% off and free shipping to your door. MileHighMarket.com, powered by Gately's.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to LaptopCoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Drive on Tuesdays. Look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Power tools.
The Al Franken Show.
There are a lot of dangerous jobs out there, and I've never had one of them.
Things you won't get anywhere else.
When I was at NBC at Saturday Night Live, the number one cause of injury at NBC were people falling out of their chairs.
And advice you can use.
If you're listening to the show and in your office, don't lean back too far.
Al Franken, 10 to 1.
Just be careful.
On AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You know, not every house needs to be completely redone to feel brand new. You'd be amazed at how much hardwood flooring enhances the look of your home. And nobody does flooring like Bella Wood, now available at your local Lumber Liquidators. Bella Wood flooring is available in over 100 different cuts, grades, and species, including bird's eye maple, Australian cypress, and Brazilian cherry. It's high-quality pre-finished flooring that comes with a certified 50-year warranty. Just talk to the experts at your local Lumber Liquidators by calling 1-800-FLOORING or go to lumberliquidators.com.
The Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
8:51, 9 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hey, did you know that nearly 100% of Superior Carpet Care's customers have them back to clean their carpets and air ducts again and again and again? And that's, an incredible endorsement from satisfied customers. It's simple. When Superior cleans your carpet, it stays clean longer, spots don't reappear, and you know you're also getting a great value. And when they clean your air ducts, they do it right. They offer the best value, too. Superior Carpet Care will clean 3 rooms and a hallway in your home for only $125. You heard right. Just $125 to clean 3 rooms and a hallway. Mary and I used them, and they did just a bang-up job. They really did. So no matter who you've used before, call Superior Carpet Care. You'll see the difference in your carpet and breathe the difference in your home. And you'll always have them back. And for $125 for three rooms and a hallway, you just can't beat the price to go along with their superior work. So if you need your carpets or air ducts clean, take my recommendation. Call Superior Carpet Care, 303-933-3000. That's 303-933-3000. And tell them Jay and Mary Marvin sent you.
If there was ever a month to make a big change in your life, January is it. So this January, why not go really big with custom LASIK by the world-class surgeons of Spivak Vision Center, currently celebrating our 25th anniversary. In honor of this big-time celebration, we're extending our $1,000 LASIK savings. Big savings, big vision, big change. Only at Spivak Vision Center, Colorado's most trusted name in vision. So don't wait. Get out there this year with custom LASIK at Spivak Vision Center and take advantage of our 25th anniversary $1,000 LASIK savings. When it comes to vision, it doesn't get any bigger than Spivak Vision, especially with our Spivak Lifetime LASIK Commitment. And our $1,000 savings makes it that much sweeter. But don't take my word for it. Call 303-C2020 and see for yourself. That's 303-C2020 for Spivak Vision, the only way to see.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 853, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Actually, now it's 854, so I lied. 54 minutes past the hour. High today, 39, under mostly cloudy skies. All right, open phones, 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about? I got two stories, too, which I'm going to read after the news here. One of them is about Bush and his photos with Habermas, which is pretty funny. And then the other one is about Feingold, who it looks like he's running for the presidency of the United States, and he makes some pretty good comments about George W. Bush. Let's go to the phone and go to Dan in Denver. Dan, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, the Nazis came to power. First they gained control of the legislature, then they gained control of the courts, and suddenly what was illegal was suddenly legal. And so what we're doing here is really, really a dangerous precedent. And I would also like to inform those people out there who are so supportive of the Patriot Act that no government on earth in history has returned civil rights and civil liberties once they have been given up. Not once.
So, well, I don't think we're headed towards you know, a situation like the Third Reich. I don't think that's going to happen. We do have checks and balances in this country, and we got some pretty unique things going on here. Number one, we have a historic chance to stop the Bush amendment, the Bush agenda, dead in its tracks by getting control of the House of Representatives, or maybe getting control of the Senate in the midterm elections, which are coming up in November. And if we can do that, then we have a platform to launch investigations to the administration. The other thing that's going to happen, and Frank Rich in the New York Times pointed this out, is that because of the NSA wiretapping situation and the fact that it could potentially be illegal, and I believe that it is, and so do a lot of other people, that all of these people that have been detained, all of these people that have been caught, quote-unquote, by this administration, and detained without their Sixth Amendment rights, and held, you know, in Guantanamo, in limbo for years and years now, and also all the renditions and everything else, all of those people who are being held, their lawyers are now going to challenge all of the evidence that the administration has accumulated through illegal wiretaps, and it's going to blow up in the administration's face.
Absolutely, and you know, I'd rather see one terrorist get away and give up my civil liberties. We did, as somebody said earlier, we fought a revolutionary war against this kind of stuff. And, you know, we need to just keep an eye on that because, you know, a lot of people died protecting our liberties. And I'm not so quick to sacrifice their lives in vain for these people especially.
Well, I think most of us, most right-thinking individuals, and I don't know if you would agree, but I think you'd agree on this. Most of us are horrified by this administration's conduct. But you know what? It's going to catch up to them. It's going to catch up to them. And I'll tell you something. They got a couple of things working against them for the midterm elections. Number one, the president's popularity is down. Number two, the Abramoff scandal. And a lot of these, you know, corruption scandals and all the problems that as many as 60 legislators may have, this stuff's going to follow them into November. And the Schooner Libby trial is going to be going on this summer, too. So it's going to follow them into November. And if all of us get out and vote, and if we support candidates, I think we got a historic chance to turn this country around. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about, we'll do it here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Him and SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Ed Schultz, weekday afternoons 1 to 4.
What I'm talking to you about is not a liberal or conservative issue.
It's truth or it's a lie.
It's morally right or it's morally wrong.
Ed Schultz on AM 760.
Who's responsible?
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Men, this message is brought to you by the Essential Group. Are you waking at all hours? It can be frustrating, especially if it happens frequently. This can be a sign of a condition called BPH or enlarged prostate. If you're experiencing this symptom, you're not alone. Many men experience this bothersome issue. BPH is a real medical diagnosis that can typically be treated. Currently, physicians are conducting a BPH research study specifically for men over 50, and you may qualify. Just call toll-free 1-866-77-STUDY for more information. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care, including doctor visits, laboratory services, and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk.
KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. An hour from now, the gavel falls, kicking off the confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. President Bush gave the 55-year-old federal judge a White House Rose Garden send-off this morning, telling the Senate,
give this man a fair hearing and an up or down vote on the Senate floor. Sam, good luck to you.
A filibuster would block an up or down vote, but talk of that strategy is muted right now as senators prepare to question the nominee. In opening statements, Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin will tell Alito that millions of Americans are concerned he would restrict rights and freedoms. And New York Democrat Charles Schumer will warn him that his past statements denying a constitutional right to an abortion give an appearance of bias. This is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Now here's Christopher Glenn.
Vice President Cheney's at home now after difficulty breathing prompted a short trip to the hospital early this morning. Live to the White House, where CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has the story.
And Chris, the latest Cheney health update comes from the president.
Doing fine. I talked to him this morning. His health is good. Should be coming in to work a little later on today.
Dick Cheney's at the vice presidential residence now following treatment for shortness of breath. His office says it was a reaction to drugs he's taking for an unspecified foot problem. Doctors prescribed a diuretic to ease fluid retention. Cheney has a long history of heart problems. His office says an electrocardiogram today was normal. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Some positive signs as the doctors start weaning Prime Minister Ariel Sharon from sedatives that have kept him in an induced coma since his stroke. CBS News reporter Larry Miller in Tel Aviv is live with the latest.
Well, Chris, Prime Minister Sharon has responded to pain, and according to Hospital Director Shlomo Mor-Yosef, that is a good thing.
He started to move minimally his right hand and right leg as a reaction to the pain.
The head of the neurology team then confirmed this was not a reflex, but a sign of activity in the brain. However, the surgeon cautioned that Sharon's life is still in danger. Live in Tel Aviv, Larry Miller, CBS News.
A pretrial hearing in Houston today for Andrea Yates. She admitted drowning her five children in the bathtub and had been serving a life prison term before her conviction was overturned last year. KRLD reporter Tracy Evans tells us that though prosecutors are open to a plea bargain this time, Yates must first plead guilty, but that apparently won't happen.
She will hear the charges against her and then make a plea. Her attorney says he is going to plead not guilty by reason of insanity on her behalf. Then they'll start working on a schedule for the retrial, which means when will the next hearing be held, and then eventually when will the trial take place.
Baby Noor is in surgery in Atlanta this morning. She's the Iraqi child with spina bifida who was brought to the U.S. for treatment. Troops found her several weeks ago during a raid on a house west of Baghdad. On Wall Street right now, Dow ahead 7.25, NASDAQ composite up 6.5. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm, Tiger Balm, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Well, we're seeing some trouble with the three-car crash that's on the ramp from Lincoln Avenue onto southbound I-25. Other than that, just dealing with the usual jamming. I-70 loaded up with lots of people heading over to the stock show, so we're slow in both directions between Colorado and I-25. Southbound 225, looking at brake lights as you head toward the tech center. And I-25, sluggish in both directions through downtown and T-Rex. Now around town, things are starting to thin out on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93. Turnpike actually back up to speed in both directions to Broomfield and Westminster. And on to forecast, a little cooler today. Highs only in the 40s. Right now we're at 34 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
What's his name? Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Just call him Ed.
I love Ed because Ed appeals to, like, Joe America.
Not to be confused with anyone else.
He sounds like Rush Limbaugh. Except that good, intelligent words come out of his mouth.
Ed Schultz.
That's just straightforward and honest.
Well, thank you. The truth is interesting, isn't it?
Ed Schultz Show. Weekdays at 1 on AM 760.
I love it.
Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:05, 5 minutes after 9, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you, high today 39, mostly cloudy skies. 303-713-7600, and it's open phones, anything you want to talk about. Check this out, you know, this White House. I guess we could get back to the conversation going on. What was that, between 7 and 8, about name-calling. And, the difference, as one caller brought up, the difference between being descriptive or using an adjective and calling names. So I don't know if this qualifies as calling names or if it qualifies as descriptive. But this White House and this president is so, at times, Orwellian. Now, if you ever read the book 1984, I mean, one of the things that used to go on in there is that they would rewrite history and X people out. And I can't remember the main character's name was. It just slips my mind right now. But he worked in that propaganda ministry. Winston Smith. And he, would get these things and he would delete people who were non-people, and he would take them out of the news stories. So here's the White House, and somebody sent this to me, and then I went and looked it up. Ross Story is carrying this. And if you haven't seen it, check this out. Bush trying to round up all photos of president with Attica at holiday events at the White House, according to an aide who has seen the list. Press Secretary Scott McClellan said Abramoff might have attended large gatherings with Bush, but added the president does not know him, nor does the president ever recall meeting him. Never mind the fact that Abramoff was one of those Bush pioneers who raised more than $100,000. Now, you know, the members of the pioneers, you don't think Bush, like, would know who those pioneers were? And some people make the case that, no, you know, the candidates don't individually know who gives money to them. President Bush and Tom DeLay, the president has scored 10 points higher than the former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay in the Representatives District in 2004, and that was only after Bush had recorded telephone messages to help rally local Republicans. I can't believe I had to do robocalls for him, the president said bitingly to an Oval Office visitor. To people who know Bush well, the remark said it's all about the longtime chill between the two politicals, a distance that is only sure to grow with the former lobbyist Jack Abramoff's guilty plea. Both camps describe the two conservative Texans' relationship as professional, an alliance, not a friendship. However, did anybody catch George W. Bush defending Tom DeLay on TV? All right, here's another one. Russ Feingold, Democrat from Wisconsin, good guy, I think, may run for the presidency, probably will run for the presidency. Many of us, or many, not us, but many people in the party would argue that he may be too left-wing. But he was in Vermont on Saturday to stump for Representative Bernie Sanders, who is the independent who is running for the U.S. Senate seat, being vacated by retiring Jim Jeffers, and Bernie Sanders may win. Has a better than average chance to win. As a matter of fact, he probably will win. And asked by a supporter, is there a way that citizens could impeach Bush here and now? Feingold said he first wants to hear the administration's justification for conducting domestic surveillance before determining if any punishment should occur. Once that is known, he said, that there should be accountability, and I'm not going to prejudge what that accountability should be. But Feingold told reporters that that would include possible impeachment. Which was my point to the last caller before we went to the top of the hour news. If we can get a hold of the Senator of the House of Representatives, this administration's in huge trouble because then you can start launching numerous investigations. Right now, those things fall on deaf ears because we don't control the agenda. But once we get a hold of the agenda, then we can start in on this stuff. And I want to refer back to a story, too, that we talked about between 6 and 7 this morning and really didn't get into it too much. I want to see what your opinion about this is. First of all, have you seen Brokeback Mountain? I haven't seen this. But a movie theater owned by Utah Jazz owner Larry Miller abruptly changed screening plans and decided not to show the film Brokeback Mountain. The film, an R-rated Western gay romance, was supposed to open Friday at the Megaplex at Jordan Commons in Sandy. That's a suburb of Salt Lake. Instead, it was pulled from the schedule. A message posted at the ticket window read, "There's been a change in the booking, and we will not be showing Brokeback Mountain. We apologize for the inconvenience." Cal Gunderson, the manager of the Jordan Commons Megaplex, declined to comment. Now, the movie's distributor, Focus Features, says that hours before the opening, the theater management reneged on their licensing agreement and refused to open the film. And I was making this point this morning. But you know something? If people don't support, if the people of Utah and of the Salt Lake City and the Sandy area, you know, if they don't want to see the film, they don't see the film. If it flops at the box office, it flops at the box office. But why would you do that? And they have every right as a private company to do this and not to show the film. But why not put the film out there? And if people don't want to watch it, they don't have to watch it. I mean, what's the big deal about that? I just don't get it. And I'd be interested in talking to any of you that have seen the film. Because I haven't seen it. And it gets big critical praise. So what's the problem? You know, even if the area is politically conservative, which Salt Lake City and Sandy, Utah are. How do I know that? Because I used to live there. But it is conservative. But still, you know what? Put the movie out there, and if people don't want to see it, then they don't have to see it. I mean, what's the problem here? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Dave in Denver. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey.
I'd like to make a case that you could call Bush a fascist without, you know, just calling him names. That this is, it's important to recognize what fascism is.
Well, what is fascism? What's the dictionary term for fascism?
Well, yeah, it's really hard to pin down because it's so unprincipled. But if you look at what happened in the 30s and 40s in Europe, you see, like in Spain, you have Franco, you have this sort of Catholic fascism. And then in Italy, you have, you know, the inventor
of
fascism.
Yeah, but wait a minute, what's the definition of fascism?
Well, you know, it depends on where it appears.
Well, pick one. What would be the definition of fascism in Italy?
It'll be very, very Italian.
No, I mean, go to the dictionary. Go to the Webster's Dictionary or Merriam or I don't know, whatever dictionary you want to use, because I don't have one here with me. But go to the dictionary and look up the term fascist and what does it say, and then take it and apply it to the United States of America and see if it fits. Take it and apply it to this president and see if it fits.
I'm suggesting you have to recognize it as a historical thing.
I'm suggesting to you that you can't call the guy a fascist if you don't know what the term means.
Well, I'm trying to explain what it means.
Well, I'm asking what the dictionary term for fascist means.
I can't explain it that way.
Well, go look it up. Why can't you explain
it?
It's
not helpful. I've looked it up many times.
Well, why can't you explain it that way?
I did my senior thesis on Hitler, and I've been thinking about fascism for 20 years, and the dictionary
cut
it.
All right, but what would be
it's important that people understand what it really is.
Yeah, but what would be a thumbnail sketch of what fascism is? Just give me a thumbnail description of what fascism is.
Well, the inventor, Mussolini, said that it really should be called corporatism, because that's what it is. That's when the corporations run the country, is fascism. So, that's for starters. But the point I was going to try to make, that it was different in Germany and Italy and in Spain, because fascism is like an exaggerated form of nationalism. And along with that usually comes some sort of, you know, ethnic pride or cultural pride. And so everybody else is inferior, and you're gonna spread your goodness all over the world, and you're, you know, destined for greatness in the eyes of God. And, you know, wherever it appears, it has different flavors depending on the culture and the country and the language they speak and all that. But every time fascism appears in the world, it's always about my country and my religion and my way of life is the best, and it's going to run the world. And it's completely unprincipled because it's kind of this reactionary throwback.
Yeah,
it's kind of tribalist.
Yeah, but the objection I have to that is that you're... description of fascism is too broad-based. It's not narrow enough. It's not defined enough. Because I can take exactly what you're saying, and I can apply it to Cuba.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can apply it to Fidel, who would tell you that he's not a fascist. He's a Marxist-Leninist. What would be the difference between those two systems?
You know, sometimes people aren't exactly what they call themselves. Cuba is a country that's been under siege by a huge, powerful country right next door for like 50 years.
Yeah, but you know what? Hold it a second. Hold it a second.
This causes a...
You know what? That's no excuse for the things that have gone on there. That's no excuse for the lack of democracy and the mass corruption and the oppression that has gone on there. Now, the Cuban Revolution has done some really good things and did do some really good things. But that's, you know, using the United States, that's no excuse. Is the embargo wrong? Yes, the embargo's wrong. But that's no excuse for trying to minimize what's going on there. And what I'm saying to you is that the definition of fascism that you're giving is too broad based. I don't think that I don't think this is a fascist country. I don't think that George W. Bush is necessarily a fascist. I think he's a misguided guy. I think he's a guy who doesn't respect the law. I think he's a guy who either can't read the law or gets bad advice from the people around him. And I think the prime example of that would be the NSA situation. I think this is a guy who's a liar.
Yeah, but, you add it all up. You know,
but I don't think he's. I don't think he would be like a classic. I don't think he would be like a classic fascist. I mean, I don't think elections in this country. Huh?
This is what I'm saying. There's no such thing as classic fascism. It's too unprincipled. It's too emotional. It's going to be, like I say, it's not going to goose step and speak German when it comes to America. It's going to swagger down the street in cowboy boots and talk plain spoken
English.
Yeah,
but you see, you know what?
Wave the flag.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing, though? What you're doing, though, is you're discounting the rest of the checks and balances that are built into this society that do work when given a chance. And the fact is that in this society, we have a, for instance, in November, we have a historic chance, you know, to fix things and to stop this guy's agenda. We're in a fascist country or a Marxist-Leninist country. You have no chance to stop anything. Would you agree there?
I would. You know, I'm at this point, I'm extremely skeptical and cynical about the whole election process.
Well, you know what?
You know,
good.
He seems to be stealing things.
Well, you know what, though?
Things.
But you know what? More and more states, though, are going to verifiable paper ballots. There are now 12 of them, and there are movements in most state legislatures to fix that problem. And, you know, the attitude that elections don't matter, the attitude that you can't fix things without elections, you know what that leads to? That leads to voter apathy, and it leads to an immediate surrendering to those people who you severely dislike. Have a good day,
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. It's 9:18, 18 minutes after 9, 303-713-7600. And anything you want. I see we had somebody talk about Brokeback Mountain, so we'll talk about that coming up here on AM 760.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
So you have one problem working for your ride. It's a three-car crash sitting on the ramp from Lincoln Avenue onto southbound 925. Other than that, just the usual slowing I-70 loaded up as people head over to the stock show. So a slow go in both directions near the complex. Southbound 225 still slow as you head toward the tech center, and I-25 sluggish in both directions through downtown and T-Rex. Now around town, things actually looking pretty good on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93. Turnpike back up to speed in both directions through Broomfield and Westminster. Now onto the forecast, going to be a little chilly today. Highs only in the 40s. We're at 34 degrees at the moment. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Introducing Test Drive Tuesday from the Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Get a $40 voucher for gas when you take a test drive on Tuesdays. Look in Tuesday's Post News Classified section for dealers and details. Quantities are limited. The Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Power tools.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. It's so easy. This software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
919, 19 minutes after 9 at AM 760, Progressive Talk. And Rocky's Autos, somebody I talk about a lot. Because they've been big supporters of this radio station and big supporters of this program. They've got a huge selection of late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and one of the biggest selections of SUVs in Colorado. And they're not out to sell you anything. But, you know, this is the big thing about Rockies. I mean, there's cynicism when it comes to car dealers, and I understand that. And I feel that myself. I really do. You know, you walk on the lot and you figure, well, okay, what they're going to do is they're going to try to shove something down your throat, and they're going to give you something you don't want. And in the end, you end up confused and you're not sure what the hell's going on. But that's not going to happen at Rockies. They're going to show you their huge selection, and you make up your mind whether you want to buy or not. And if you don't, there's no hard feelings, and they're not going to try to pressure you into anything that you don't want. Every car is thoroughly and completely checked out. And every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles. From United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, Mary and I bought a great car from Rockies. Gets good gas mileage. And it was that time to do that, you know, maintenance and go get the oil change. And so we decided to have the whole car checked out. And, man, it came back with an A+. So that's what Rockies is all about. Check them out on the Internet. At RockiesAutos.com, you can check out their business philosophy and check out the inventory. Pre-qualified, too, for a car loan. Rockies Autos, family-owned and operated since 1982, and they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal. That's just north of I-76 and just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
The Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Bacon, Eggs, and Jay Marvin on AM 760 in the morning. Progressive Talk.
22 minutes after 9. Good morning. High today 39, mostly cloudy skies. Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk. All right, it's open phones, 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about? Here's Kelly in Centennial. Kelly, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hello?
Hey, Kay. I'm sorry. I don't know why
I called you, okay.
Kelly. Go ahead, Kay.
I know you said Kelly, but I'm like, I think he means Kay.
Yeah, I do. I do mean Kay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I like the name Kelly, too.
Okay.
My husband and I went to see Brokeback Mountain this past weekend.
Yeah, what'd you think?
And I thought it was a really entertaining, good film on a lot of levels. And I like to go to movies that evoke some entertainment that I feel, you know. So, first of all, the scenery in it is just breathtaking. And to live next to a state like Wyoming and see the movie's filmed in is just beautiful. It's a very sad movie. I think it's an educational movie.
Is it overtly sexual?
You know, there's one part where it is, but maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah, but we're not, you know, when I mean overtly sexual, I mean like a lot of sex scenes.
Oh.
No, see, it doesn't have that.
Do you consider two men kissing overtly sexual?
No.
Okay. Because there is, I said there's 15 seconds. In probably the first 20 minutes of the film where there is, it shows them getting together in a tent.
I mean, 15 seconds, you know, if I was sitting there watching the film and sneezed, I'd miss it.
Yes, I mean, you know, you show them hugging and kissing and then them having sex, and then that part's over. And then you don't see that again in the movie, the rest of the movie.
So,
you see their relationship, you see their hardship, they're both married, they both have children, you just see the development of the relationships on all sides of it.
So I wonder what the big objection was to showing the film in Sandy, Utah.
Because, this is my belief, is that there's a lot of homophobia there in the Mormon community. That's just my belief. And, you know, I think what I don't understand is why everybody is so afraid of, it's not like this is an X-rated movie. This isn't like it's a porn show. It's never close to that.
I don't get it either.
It's a development of a relationship between two men, a relationship with their wives, with their kids. You know, I don't understand that kind of fear.
Yeah, right? I don't either. I've never been able really to understand people who are scared of gays and lesbians. I just don't get it.
I don't know either. I mean, it's like, this is a great show. And, you know, when we went to a large theater. It was sold out. I see that it's nominated for the Best Picture of the Year. One of the actors is nominated for one of the Best Actors. You know, I mean, it's an artistic film in a lot of ways. It's a film worth seeing as an adult. I certainly wouldn't recommend taking kids on any.
Well, no, but there's I agree with you. But there's a lot of films out there that you wouldn't take kids to. But the idea that you're right, that people out there are like scared of gays and lesbians, and they're scared of anything that, you know, talks about it. And if the movie isn't, you know, it wouldn't make any difference if it engaged in heterosexual sex. Who wants to go see a movie that's overtly sexual with no point to it? I mean, it's got to have some kind of point to it and some kind of storyline. And it's like, because, you know, I mean, you might as well go check into a hotel and watch the adult pay-per-views.
Exactly. And it's not even, this is not even anywhere in the same realm. It could easily be a heterosex film about two people and their relationship. This is what it's about. And just like I said, the scenery and the beauty and the hardship of living that life as a quote-unquote cowboy. My beef are sheep herders. And I highly recommend it to people. I'm always very fearful of people who want to control what I'm able to see or read or hear.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because it ought to stand or fall on its own merits. And
exactly.
If people don't want to, if they don't like the film, and even if they're going to be narrow-minded, that they're not going to watch the film, they're just going to say, well, I don't like the film, and they don't care, because they're only going on what they heard, then at least put it in the theater and allow it to stand or fall on its own merits, and then if people don't go see it, well, that's one thing.
Exactly. I mean, for an example, my husband went and saw A Lost in Translation with Bill Murray. Without a doubt, I think that's the worst movie I've ever seen. And yet, it got rave reviews. So, that's just the difference right there, and just choices people have.
Yep, exactly. Kay, thank you. Great call.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. And one listener called up and said that maybe the owner thought the movie wouldn't do well at his theater, and because the theater had limited number of screens. But you know what? Knowing Salt Lake City and Sandy, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City, and having lived there, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case at all. So what ends up happening is, as a private entity and as a private business, they have a right to not show the film one way or the other. But really, that's not really fair, and they're really doing a disservice. And if, as I said to Kay, if you don't like the movie, you haven't seen it, if you just don't like the subject matter, and you write about it, and oh my God, I don't want to see no film with no queers, you don't want to see any of that kind of stuff, well, then fine, don't go. Don't spend your money. But what about the people who do want to see it? Right? Just let it stand or fall on its own merits. I'm not saying the government should jump in and force the movie theater to show the movie. That's not what I'm saying. So I know I'm going to get an email from somebody saying, well, how are you advocating that the movie theater should be forced to show the film? I'm not advocating that. Not at all. But what I've been advocating, and when I brought this up at 6 o'clock this morning, what I'm advocating is that you just put the movie out there and see what happens. And I don't see any harm in that at all. People ought to be, ought to be given a choice. So, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the suburb of Sandy, Utah is poorer for the fact that the theater wouldn't show the film. Coming up to 9:30 here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. We'll take more calls at 303-713-7600. It's open phones.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Well, around town, things back up to speed on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93. The turnpike looking real good as you make your way through Broomfield and Westminster. Now, I-25 still a little slow in both directions through downtown and T-Rex. I-70 bunching up around the complex. Lots of people heading over to the stock show. And 225, slow go as you head into the tech center. Now, checking the forecast, going to be nice today. Sunny but cooler. Highs only in the 40s. We're at 34 degrees right now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Todd Helton says take the freeway to Freeway 4 and right now get a load of 03 Explorer for just $13.9. Selling new and used SUVs and pickups fast and for thousands less is how they survive T-Rex. Get your load of 03 Explorer today for just $13.9. Freeway 4 to I-25 in Evans or at cheaperforge.com.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
I just want to thank him for helping me save my life.
And it was so easy.
These people quit smoking forever or lost weight and kept it off using hypnosis. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at the Red Lion, Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Sessions are affordable at $59.95.
You have to go. You should go.
John Morgan Seminars have helped over 100,000 people. This is your time. Call 800-735-6907.
I feel fantastic, and I couldn't be happier.
Call 800-735-6907.
You are not easy to pin down. You're not one-dimensional. You're diverse. You have a wide range of interests, hobbies, and pastimes, all of which call for a bountiful bouquet of televised entertainment. That's why Comcast Digital Cable is offering you up to 200 channels of choice for just $49.99 for 3 months. For the sports fan, there's ESPN, Fox Sports, and Altitude. The kid in you gets Nickelodeon, Noggin, and Sprout. And your inner movie buff can watch up to 7 channels of HBO with Million Dollar Baby, The Ring 2, and new seasons of The Sopranos and Deadwood in March. Plus, you can enjoy over 2,300 hours of movies, shows, and music with the magic of On Demand. Select from a continually updated library and watch what you want, when you want. $49.99 gets you 3 months of up to 200 channels from Comcast Digital Cable. With that many choices, even a multifaceted individual like you is sure to be satisfied. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. Certain restrictions apply. Offer good through January 21st and not available in all areas. Call for details.
Homeowners, the holidays are over, paying for them may not be. If the holiday season stuffed your stocking with high interest rate credit card statements, there has never been a better time to call the mortgage store than today.
Jason Rauschelbach, CEO of the Mortgage Store.
The average family has $12,000 in credit card debt. You can make those payments month after month and never see your balances go down.
Call the Mortgage Store today. Just one phone call is all it takes to get you started saving hundreds of dollars every month.
We'll make it easy for you to pay off those credit cards. And it's tax deductible.
The Mortgage Store does the shopping for you and guarantees to save you money. There's no application fees, no out-of-pocket closing costs. Now, how's that for a fresh start for the new year?
There has never been a better time to call the Mortgage Store than today.
Call the Mortgage Store now. 303-37171. That's 423-7171. The Mortgage Store, where America goes for mortgages.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:33, 27 minutes in front of 10 o'clock on AM 760, Progressive Talk. High today, 39. Under mostly cloudy skies, open phones, 303-713-7600. All right, let's go to the phones. Hey, we got a Kelly Joe in Boulder. Kelly Joe, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Jay, how are you?
I'm okay. Now, you know what? If this is the same Kelly Joe, you sent me emails, haven't you?
I send you emails all the time.
Didn't you send me emails about cold prevention?
I did.
Yeah, see, it doesn't do any good. What the hell am I going to do?
I don't know.
I think I got something else going on.
Well, if you have a fever, that's probably a good sign.
Well, why would that be a good sign?
Because that means your body's trying to fight it off now. Fever's actually good.
It's uncomfortable, though.
I know it is. It really sucks.
It really does.
I can't imagine being on the radio and feeling like that.
Well, yeah, I felt that way at about 4 o'clock this morning driving to work, and I thought to myself, what in the hell am I doing?
Right.
All right, what else is going on?
Well, I sent you an email about fascism. I looked up the definition on the Webster dictionary, but I don't have it up right now. But if you go to Encyclopedia Britannica online, they have some things about fascism on there, and I don't think that this administration is. I don't believe we're a fascist nation. But there are a lot of hallmarks that we have in common since this administration has come into power with what the definitions of them are in the encyclopedia. That it's kind of frightening that we didn't have, say, 10 years ago. For instance, one of the things is identification with Christianity, and I'm reading directly from Encyclopedia Britannica, and it says, most fascist movements portrayed themselves as defenders of Christianity and the traditional Christian family against atheists and amoral humanists. So that's something that they've kind of put in there. Another one that I read about was one of the things that they do is make it so that anyone who questions them is unpatriotic.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not only, you know, that right there is not only limited to fascism. Oh. That's limited to a lot of countries, and that's one of the oldest arguments in the world, and that whole idea dates back to Joseph McCarthy in this country.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm not saying that it's not, but when they were talking about fascism, I think that that we do have a lot in common with what the definitions are.
Fascism also, though, lacks a democratic process.
You're right, and also the corporate structure, the way that the corporatism is the way that they describe the way it's set up in the encyclopedia isn't possible so far. It looks like just the way I was interpreting it, the way we have it now, it's all government controlled corporatism. So I don't believe that we could meet the definitions of fascism. But there are a lot of things that we have in common. The things that I find kind of frightening. My husband and I also were watching a DVD, World at War.
Right.
And it was one of the DVDs is talking about, like, the lead, how Hitler came to power and what was going on in Nazi Germany at the time. And they had a lot of these things in common with what's going on now. The other thing was...
Give me some examples of that.
With the identifying with the fundamentalist Christian value, well, you know, traditional family values, so-called. Anyone who questions is unpatriotic. Controlling the public through propaganda. If anybody questions that, they should watch out Fox.
I have a copy about Fox, but, you know, I would point to you... See, you know, I would bring up two things in this regard. Number one, OutFox explains what Fox is, basically. Fox is wedded to the GOP, basically.
Absolutely.
Because Rupert Murdoch is an extremely right-wing guy who owns Fox. But, you know, the rest of the media, like CNN, MSNBC, you know, as we were talking this morning with Mr. Schechter about this, and the print media, like the New York Times and the Washington Post, and I'm just naming newspapers of record, the Los Angeles Times, you know, that's not government control of the media. What that is that's the slashing of budgets by corporations, and it's also laziness. Now, the media does have the ability in this country to write itself. Example would be that the New York Times found out that Judy Miller had... taken all of this stuff from Shalaby and from Scooter Libby, and had put it in the New York Times. Well, you know, Judy Miller got fired.
Right.
So the Times is trying, you know, desperately to right itself. And another example of this would be that while it's disgraceful that the New York Times withheld the Reisner story for a year. Because if they had run it at the time, it would have broken during the presidential election, which would have been extremely damaging to the Bush campaign. So, while it's disgraceful that they did that, when it came to light, the public editor in the New York Times denounced his own newspaper and started beating up his own newspaper. Now, I maintain, you know, in a tightly controlled press, you know, you would never have that.
Right. No, right. And I'm not saying, and as I said, I don't feel like we are a fascist nation, but I think that the similarities bear scrutiny. One other thing that I was going to tell you is that on that video, they were talking about how Hitler kept, in his rise to power, he kept the public in a constant state of emergency. And that's kind of where we're at, too. We're in a constant, and that's how they control the people with this administration, is through fear, fear, fear.
I think they manipulate public opinion that way. Sure, I would agree with you. You know, I would agree with you there. And I think the other thing about them is, you know, along with this, is I think that they use it to, number one, engage in extreme behavior,
sure,
which is enlarging the executive branch and the presidential powers. And then the other thing is they use it to cover up their own terrible mistakes.
Right. Which is what the fascists did.
You know, which is what Frank Rich points out in yesterday's column in the Weekly Review in the New York Times about how when the administration blathers the loudest and when they attack the press and lash out at other people, what they're basically doing is they're trying to get you to, you know, they're trying to cover up their own misdeeds. But you know something? See, the difference between a fascist state, and I know you're not making the case that we are, and I don't believe that we are either, but the difference between us and a classically fascist state, in my mind, like what you saw in Germany, particularly after Hitler took power, and the mass hysteria that the Nazis generated, we do have dissension happening in this country. We do have other points of view. We do have channels to go get those other points of view, one of those being the Internet, which is one of the things why, like, the Chinese, for instance, are always trying to control that in their own country.
Right.
I mean, we've got those things going on, and we have a historic chance to do something about all of this in November. And the last caller who said, well, you know, I mistrust the electoral process, and I mean, to me, that's, yeah, there are things that are wrong with it, and there are people who are trying to fix it, but to me that negates any chance to do anything. And it's like, you know, it's like laying down and getting waiting to get rolled over, to run over, you know?
Right. Well, as far as that goes, I mean, I think that we do need, I think there needs to be more public outcry, too, about the voting machines, the no paper ballots. I mean, because until we get that fixed, it, you know, honestly, I really truly believe it doesn't really matter how right we are or how many people, you know, are on our side. Because I think that, you know, that's crooked.
Well, 12 states have moved in that direction, and there's other bills pending in other state legislatures.
And that's heartening.
You know, to fix that. And but, you know, even with the... Let me leave you this thought. Even with the screwing up in Ohio, okay,
mm-hmm.
where there were irregularities, Bush still won by a very narrow margin.
Well, see, that's why I don't really think he did win. I really don't. I truly, in my heart, do not believe he did win. I think that, especially with the things that just came out last month about when they tested the voting machines in Florida.
Right. I saw that.
You know, I really think with all the questions there were about it that were never, ever answered, I do think that I think Kerry won. I was incredulous. I mean, I was stunned.
I think he won the first time, but not the second. I think he lost the second. And I, you know what? And I don't think that the voting machines, I mean, I think that they didn't help, but I think the biggest thing is that Kerry didn't help himself.
Oh, well, I completely agree with that.
I mean,
he did not run the campaign.
Yeah, he just did not help himself. And
it's a shame because I saw him when he was in Denver, and what I saw was a smart, caring, compassionate, wonderful guy that I was 100% behind him after I saw him. But that didn't translate on camera, unfortunately. They never found a way to be able to, in my opinion, you know, that didn't come across.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't. And they didn't run a rough enough campaign.
No, they didn't.
Kelly Joe, thanks, and thanks for your emails.
Sure. Thanks, Jay.
Okay.
Bye.
One line open at 303-713-7600. Let's go to Chris in Denver. Chris, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in here.
Hey, I've just got an overall kind of comment about how Brokeback Mountain wasn't played in Utah.
Right.
I know. I lived for 6 months in Provo, Utah, and I had to go there for some therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people, especially our listeners, know how prevalent and one-sided everything is to the right in Utah.
It's pretty heavy here. I agree with you there.
I mean, I consider myself a pretty liberal left guy, and I was literally one in a million out there. I don't recall Hotel Rwanda ever being played in Provo, Utah, and that was obviously a pretty huge, successful movie.
Yeah, I was gone by that time, so I got to rely on your expertise.
Yeah, and I also don't remember seeing Ray the first couple months that it was out also. I remember driving from Salt Lake to Provo on I-15, and there was a huge billboard that said, with a cartoon character of Michael Moore, and it said, Michael Moore, high in cholesterol, low in truth.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, look how many times they have sent to Orrin Hatch back in the Senate.
Right, right, exactly. I was at the gym one time, and this 60-year-old lady who was training at the gym I was at, really like everyone's grandmother, really nice lady, and it was during the election in 2004, and I was just making a comment about how I was reading Bill Clinton's memoirs. She turns to me totally serious and says, you need to find something better to do with your time. And it just really left me speechless.
Yeah.
That's just how prevalent it is in Utah, and that shocks me not in the least that Brokeback Mountain isn't played, because if you're not on the home team, which is the right-wing Mormon side of the fence, it's just not going to happen in Utah.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, you know, you're right. Unfortunately, you're really right. And when I lived there, the only place that had any hint of liberalism mm-hmm. was an area in downtown Salt Lake that they called the Avenues, which ironically was right next to the main temple.
Right.
That was what, you know, really ironic about it. And it had a theater that showed independent films. And it had this whole kind of literary slash left-wing kind of culture to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting place. But if you got out into the suburbs like Sandy or, you know, any of those places, yeah, it was like those people were solidly conservative and Republican and religious. And it was very scary. And there was very little separation of church and state, with the legislature being controlled primarily by the, you know, the Mormons.
Exactly.
Very rough thing. Hey, Chris, thank you, man. Great call.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jay.
All right, appreciate your time. Yeah, Salt Lake's a very, Utah's a very beautiful place, but unless you're prepared to put up with it, although, you know, when I was there, Ted Wilson, who was the Democratic nominee for governor, was 19 points ahead of then-Republican incumbent Norm Bangeter. And once again, Wilson ran a poor campaign, and Bangeter beat him, but he beat him by only like 5 points. So it was still close. 9:46, 14 minutes away from 10, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
We're in pretty good shape on the drive around town. Should be able to get to where you need to go without much delay on I-25 north and south of downtown. Getting back up to speed after a busy morning rush. I-70 may be a little bit crowded across the elevated portion. Keep in mind the National Western Complex area is going to be busy with the stock show underway here for the next couple of weeks. Also, Colorado Boulevard there approaching I-70. The rest of the highway system is in pretty good shape, though, around town. And the Boulder Turnpike looks good to and from Boulder. No worries in Boulder. As far as weather goes for today, mostly sunny and cool with a high in the low 40s. Clear skies tonight, low 26. Partly sunny, but breezy tomorrow with a high of 54. Right now it's 32 degrees. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history. We'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
Here's what satisfied customers are saying about the winter sale, now on at Men's Warehouse.
George, this is Tony Bonacorso, a satisfied customer. I walked into the store because you guys were having a sale. I bought a couple of suits, shirts, sports jackets. It was a wonderful sale. I think I really got a wonderful, wonderful buy. I saved over $1,100.
Hey, George. My husband, John, said, let's go, let's go. He heard about the sale on the radio that you're having right now. So we went in and we got more than we ever would have bargained for at any other store we could have ever gone to.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale, with savings of up to 50% on select styles, from corporate to casual.
The only way to beat a Men's Warehouse price is at the Men's Warehouse Winter Sale. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse. The winter sale ends soon. 12 Denver area stores. To reach the Men's Warehouse nearest you, call 1-800-776-SUIT.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Folks, when you think tires, think Aspen Goodyear. 303-771-9800. Full service facilities. We run the automotive troubleshooter show for Tom Martino. 303-771-9800. My name's Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
The company corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
All right, 9:50, 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock.
America, you got to be crazy. Man, I like all the night.
Is that James Brown?
Continental suit.
Man, I can tell you some good stories about James. 9:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock. High today, 39, mostly cloudy skies. Boy, I can't believe I made it through this morning. Let's hope I don't lose my voice. Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to Bela in Boulder. Bela, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, great. And a brief comment about your fever. Well, fevers are an important indication that there's something going on in your body, but the fever can also turn around and become so severe that it causes actual damage. So you do need to take it into account. Your body's telling you something, and do something about the fever.
Well, I think I'm going to do two things. I think number one, I'm going to go home today and take it easy. That's number one. And number two, I'm going to call my doctor. Because
you have to go in and see somebody.
You know, this has been going on. How long has this been going on? This has been going on.
A month.
Yeah, a month, man. And I can't get rid of this no matter how hard I try, no matter what I take.
A fever can actually cause more damage than the problem itself.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get into my doctor tomorrow.
It means that your body wasn't able to get rid of the problem without a fever. So, okay, getting back to this fascism. I finally got a dictionary out, which many people are not willing to do. It's a very brief description, and then I want to just discuss it for a minute.
Sure.
It says, a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and race and stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. Now, the problem with the definitions are inherently problematic because they're giving you the pure form of something. They're giving you the pure definition. And I think the problem is that you cannot say we're fascist just because there are examples of fascism within the system. Examples do not make the system. Systems are generally work in progress. So fascism is something that you work towards. So you'll always have symptoms or elements of fascism in any system. But it doesn't mean that the system itself is working towards fascism. Just similarly, the Soviet Union never called itself communist. What they said is they called themselves socialist. Communist was a process whereby you reached the state of socialism.
Right, or they labeled themselves as being a Marxist-Leninist state.
That's right. We labeled them communists, but that was just a process whereby what they needed to do in order to reach socialism, which they never reached.
Right, exactly.
And so fascism, by just saying we're fascist because of A, B, and C, that is similar in our system to Hitler's system, does not make this a fascist state, because fascism is a work in progress.
Well, the other thing about it is we've got enough checks and balances built
That's
in
right.
here that we can stop it. And this whole idea that, well, you know, there's no reason to turn out to vote, blah, blah, blah. If people see this in the bigger context, and they realize that in order to stop this extreme administration, and that's what I believe is, I don't think they're fascists, but I think they're extremists. And I think they're people who can't read the law, too, by the way. You know, Alberto Gonzalez ought to be fired. That's number one. He's probably one of the worst. I mean, he's worse than Ashcroft. Probably one of the worst attorney generals we've ever had. And it's almost as if these people around the president, around Bush, basically just go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And they don't stand up and go, well, wait a minute, you know, look, according to this, and the way this is written in the Constitution of the United States, you can't wiretap, you know, domestically without a court order, because the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution indicates by oath or affirmation, and, you know, you got to obtain a warrant. But getting back to what I said before, we have checks and balances here where fascist societies don't have those checks and balances. We don't have suppression of information here. We've got a media that's basically lazy. I mean, we've got checks and balances. If all of us go to the polls in November, and if we were to get control of the House of Representatives, or we were to get control of the Senate, we could stop the administration dead in their tracks.
Well, I personally believe that Cheney has fascist mentality, and given the opportunity within the culture and the system, that would come out even stronger. I think he does have a fascist mentality. However, I don't think the system allows that to be expressed to the extent that I think he would like to.
Yeah, see, I agree. I agree with you because, you know what, as little as the opposition is, and what are we talking about, say, for instance, in the Senate, we're talking about 44 Democrats, as little as the opposition is, at least the opposition is on his rear all the time. And then you got the other thing is that the media, for as many faults as it has, and I think it's got a ton of them, the media, as of late, has not been very kind to the White House and has caught them in all kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think a little historical perspective is needed here. I watch the History Channel and the Hitler Channel and all, and there was a series on the presidents, on each of the presidents. And we have gone through stages very similar to this in the past. And we have survived them, and,
right.
and we have redefined the nation and have come out stronger for it. And I think there's still hope. However, that does not mean that if these people prevail with what they're, and I can't speak for what they really believe that they don't express outwardly, but I do think that Cheney has fascist mentalities, and he'd love to turn his country into his own little playground. But I don't think Bush has a fascist mentality. I think he's just pretty much of an idiot.
Well, I wish I could remember that Barry Goldwater quote about the pursuit of liberty and about vice and all that kind of stuff, and I can't remember the quote. And that's basically, you know, if you go look the quote up, that's basically what these guys are doing. You know, they believe in their hearts that there is nothing, I mean, that you can go to any lengths to try to preserve what they believe the security and the well-being of this country is. And in doing so, as I've said many times this morning, I mean, they misinterpret the law. They don't read the law. But I don't think it necessarily makes us a classic, quote-unquote, fascist state at all. Hey, Bella, thank you, man.
Sure. No, thanks.
All right. Bye. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to a country where they have, you know, a controlled press, or that freedom is suppressed. I have, and you would never get what you say. For instance, was in the Week in Review section of the New York Times yesterday, or you wouldn't get that excellent Bob Herbert column that's in the New York Times this morning, which I suggest if you can get it online. You ought to read it because it really says what this administration's all about. All right, that's it for this morning. Thank you so much for your time. Agree or disagree, you're always welcome here. And I don't know if I'll be back tomorrow. I think I might be, but I'm not real sure. We'll see what happens. Anyway, have a great day.